This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
There are laws against this.
Doogie.
I kind of got tingly.
Dieter.
It's this, bitch.
Charlie.
I'm smarter than you, for sure.
And Jeffrey.
Please.
Streaming on RoverRadio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
What's happening? It is Friday, November 2nd, 2018. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is here.
Yo!
Yo! You're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER. 866-967-6837. That's how you reach the show. Text us at that number as well. Comes into the studio in real time. Tweet us. Put at Rover Radio in your tweet. Comes into the studio in real time. The best way, give us a call, 866-967-6837. I'll get the email here in just a moment. Comedian Craig Robinson in the studio with us this morning.
From my favorite movie of all time.
Which one?
Duh. Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
What year did that come out?
Even Craig Robinson is like, that movie sucks.
Shut up.
Chris Matthews. From Hardball on MSNBC on the show this morning. And new boobs up for grabs for you. If you're a if you're in search of a boob job, look no further. Go to RoverRadio.com and sign up to get new boobs from Rover's Morning Glory and Dr. Goldschmidt of the Cosmetic Surgery Center.
So we started going through the entries.
Yes.
Some people were having issues uploading your picture. I did not, so there's no problem on our end. And also answer all the questions. If they're asking you, why do you want them? Be as detailed as you can.
Yes.
In that. Some people are not.
Yeah, all right. Try and be very detailed. Not just mine or small.
Yeah. I have mosquito bites.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Be as detailed as you possibly can on your entries. We'll go through all of those. We'll narrow it down. I'm guessing how we'll do it is we'll narrow it down to about five girls or so. We'll bring them in, and then that day we will pick which girl gets the boob job. I know that one year, it's sort of dependent on what girl, you know, what her schedule is. I know that one girl won, and she was in there getting her boobs, like, seriously, a week later.
Well, the next day, I thought.
It was fast.
She doesn't want to wait.
And Dieter's a big fan of his work. You like it?
Oh, aren't you? He does
Sure. Fantastic
work.
The
bigger, the better.
Yeah, stuff those things in there as much as possible, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is Jeffrey here today?
No.
Oh, really? What's...
Hell no!
The whole week off.
What's going on with Jeffrey?
He called me at... I'm trying to remember, 5 o'clock is yesterday, and he said his wife's not getting out of the hospital yesterday. She's still in again, so...
Something's wrong, you guys. You don't stay in the hospital for a full week.
Well, she went in Monday night, late Monday night, and then... Yeah, it is
Friday.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Four nights?
So I don't have an actual update on the whatever's wrong with her.
He didn't say?
Did he even ask?
I'm not sure. I was just...
Does he even know?
Yeah,
I don't
know.
So, and then his car is still broken, so he has to get the kids off to school. We can Uber him in at 7:30 once he gets the kids off.
You want to get him on the phone
for me?
Get him
on the phone.
See what's going on with him. I thought she was coming home yesterday. Hey. She loves being in the hospital, though. Now...
Exactly. She's delaying it, saying, oh, my stomach hurts as I'm leaving. Maybe I should stay one more night.
But
chest pains.
Yeah, I'm short of breath.
You guys, this is a lot more serious than her liking people talking to her. I mean...
Well, B2 and I were talking about this. She said, is there any way that she didn't have a seizure? I said, you know, I immediately thought that right off the bat.
They would no, absolutely not. They would have let her go.
No. Dude, you don't know how these things work. They don't. You don't go.
If there's zero wrong with you.
No. They have to, for their own liability purposes, they need to run through the gamut of tests. So if you
She's
come
there
in there with
every
something,
week. They know everything.
Exactly. And if it's something different, you come in at the following week and you go, oh, I had a seizure, then they have to do a complete battery of tests. Now, the CAT scan was normal.
I think there was an MRI about to happen yesterday.
That's what I thought, too.
Maybe they found
something. Maybe they discovered something. But, you know, I put it, and I know this is a very cynical point of view, but I put it, when I was discussing it with B2, I said I put it at roughly 50-50, maybe even a little bit less, that this is a...
The kids did say they saw her shaking.
That doesn't even clear things up for me.
Okay.
I mean...
Do you think she told the kids to say shaking?
No, I think she probably was just shaking.
Just doing it.
We've heard the 911 calls, right?
But...
Not from this.
Not from this, no.
I'm talking about all the other millions of 911 calls.
That's different. Her being nervous versus shaking.
The kid said she wasn't awake at all.
Well, was she sleeping? And then she wakes up, and then she's like...
No, I mean, not even when...
Did she have a nightmare?
Call the 911.
Not even when the medics came or the ambulance came, she still was not awake.
Oh, seriously?
That's what they said.
Also, Rover, you said she loves the hospital, but she also hates to be away from those kids.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
The other thing that I found a little bit strange was the timing. Jeffrey is going across town to meet a woman who he's going out to a bar, going to a funeral with her, and he gets over there, and isn't this the same day?
No, that's when his car broke down. I was at the movies with him.
Okay, so he still left the house.
Rhapsody.
But that still happened recently.
Yeah.
No, but that's different. If it's not the same night.
But Jeffrey's gone. He's not at home. He's never at home when these things happen.
He's not.
He's also just never at home.
Right. So, I
mean, that's also true.
Anyhow, so is he...
He's on the line.
Okay, let me see here. There he is. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
Good morning.
You sound a little groggy this morning. What's going on?
Oh, just getting up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sleeping in?
How can I sleep in? I got to get the kids ready for school.
Well, what happened? I mean, I talked to you yesterday. Mary Elizabeth was coming home yesterday, and here it is on Friday.
That's exactly what I thought myself.
And what happened?
And apparently I talked to the doctors at the nurse's station. They told me they got her on the new medication and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I was waiting to see if I was going to get a phone call that that's just that she's going to come home. And I was staying at the hospital as long as I can to wait for the actual resident doctor to come in so I could talk to her. You know, I could talk to the doctor and say, hey, what's going on? You know, what do I need to know? And apparently, I had to get home to make sure that my kids got in the house okay.
So did you ever talk to the doctor?
I talked to whoever the doctor was at the nurse's station, yeah, but, you know, I had to talk to...
Is that a doctor that's treating Mary Elizabeth?
Yeah, the doctor that was on duty.
And what did this doctor have to say?
They just said, just saying the same spiel. You know, she had a seizure. I asked, well, what causes the seizure? And she was like, she gave me I don't know anything about seizures.
What did the person say? The doctor would give you information or the nurse?
She couldn't even answer my question.
You ask a doctor a question,
so
they give you some feedback.
I thought that she was coming home yesterday. What's the explanation for why she didn't come home?
I said they just gave me that, you know, that nonchalant, because I don't know any, you know,
Jeffrey.
I don't remember anything.
So, you must have then called your wife yesterday, huh?
I called my wife. I even visited her yesterday. I stayed with her until about almost 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, we know.
All right.
And so...
The kids get home at 3.
No, my daughter gets home a little earlier because she's released a little earlier than my son.
What time does she get home?
She gets home between 2:15 and 2:30.
Right. Dude, remember, hour walk.
Yeah, he's walking.
So,
right.
So last night, what did your wife tell you?
I didn't talk to her last night. I visited her.
Oh, so
you left at 12:30.
So 12:30, you figured she's coming home yesterday, right?
I thought she was coming home.
And then when she doesn't come home, she just never comes home. You don't call up there and inquire about what's going on or anything.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I just gotten up. I'm gonna get my kids off to school. I'm gonna call her and find out
today was the plan, Robert. It's always today.
So, what if they were wheeling her out in the wheelchair, waiting for her ride to
exactly.
pick her up?
Exactly. Or she walked home.
I would have gotten a phone call, you musclehead.
Yeah, but remember yesterday your phone was broken. It wasn't working real well. Remember Sprint had an outage and phone calls coming in and out were...
Well, that's been resolved. That's been resolved in the last 3-6 hours.
Jeffrey, what if she did walk home because you weren't there?
If she walked home, Dieter, she'd be sitting in the recliner and I'd be sleeping in my bed.
Unless something happened on the way.
That's not the case. Yeah. I don't think anything happened on the way.
You don't know.
So we don't know the results of the MRI?
The last time you talked to her, was it 12:30 then?
When I was at the hospital, I talked to her yesterday.
It's a full day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can tell that there's a lack of information and lying because he's stuttering so much. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard him stutter this much in so long. So, what did the doctor say? Well, I don't think he talked to any doctors.
No.
Don't your kids ask, like, what's wrong with mom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they know she's had a seizure. They know she's in the hospital. They know she's being taken care of. Okay.
Now, would that show up in a CAT scan? Like if you had a seizure?
When I asked about the CAT scan, they told me there was nothing abnormal about the CAT scan. She still has to have an MRI done.
She said she did that yesterday.
I said she had a CAT scan, not an MRI. MRI means mechanical resonance imaging. It's a little different from a CAT scan.
I thought it was magnetic, not mechanical.
That's your car.
Magnetic, whatever.
Rover, so CAT scans can... they're used to obtain cross-sectional images to reveal abnormalities that can cause seizures.
Uh-huh.
So Jeffrey said that there were no abnormalities found.
I see.
According to what my wife said, that's what was the result.
But if you have a seizure, is there any way to tell after the fact? Is there a test you can do to tell, did this person actually have a seizure?
Well, I mean, like I said, this is the first time she's had one of these since she was 5 years old.
But you still know nothing about what's wrong with her.
I gotta go, guys. I gotta get my kids ready.
They don't wake up till 7:30.
Can we Uber him in for the leftovers today? Let's have him here.
I don't know.
He can walk.
You know, I mean, you don't want him to come in? He hasn't worked all week.
He's got a broken car.
Yeah, I know, but what am I gonna get at? I mean, look at how much I'm getting right now. It's nothing.
We can call the doctor today, which he was planning on it.
Well, I'm planning on visiting her in the hospital as soon as the kids get off of school.
Yeah.
All right, we'll call you later for an update.
Yeah, it's work hours, Dieter. I'm gonna be at the hospital.
Have you called Sasky to tell him you took the week off?
I gotta call him as soon as he gets in. I'm I thought it was just going to be.
I was going to do that today.
You haven't called me once to tell me anything.
Hey, I'm gonna miss all week. Jeffrey, it's Friday. Hey, Jeffrey, see if you can get on the school bus and if they'll drop you off here.
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie. All right.
Ask
thank
for that
you.
Raise too while you're on the phone.
Jeffrey, mm-hmm. good luck. Hope everything
Wait,
works out.
His car.
Oh, his car.
Oh, yeah, what's up with the car?
Yeah. What's the update on your vehicle?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, let's see. Need a new transmission.
Oh my God! What's new that? Transmission.
What's that going to cost?
Hey, I got a question. Since you're asking, want to pay for it?
Well, what's it cost?
Well, what's it cost? Maybe I will.
$1,600.
$1,600.
Hey, let me think about it. No.
Okay.
All right. Wait. So you're not going to have a car for like
months?
Months.
I don't know. I maybe not that long. If somebody's able to help me out.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh,
did
here
you just
goes.
Get? We just got a
here
check
it
from
goes.
Rover.
This will be good.
Guys,
did you not just give him a check?
For what?
For RMG Plus.
Yeah.
He knows what's wrong with his car, but his wife, who knows?
I know.
Well, right now I'm placing my wife over my car at this
sure.
point.
Sure, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Hey, do you have any of that money left from RMG Plus?
No, dude. I use it on bills, groceries, and stuff for my kids, like Halloween candy, shoes, boots.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
He bought
so,
two pairs of shoes right. for himself too.
All yeah. right, Jeffrey.
Wow.
Well, good luck to you. Maybe we'll see you someday again in the future.
Do you even work here?
Yeah, I got a call, and since Sasky's calls in, I'll give him a call and say, hey, look, kids, I'm sorry you've been out of work last week. My wife had a seizure, and I had to take care of the kids.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. You're welcome, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, man. He has no clue. That was just a
cluster.
Stuttering, bumbling cluster of lies, wasn't it?
He hasn't stuttered that much in a long time.
No. He didn't talk to anyone.
Uh-uh.
He didn't talk to any doctors.
No.
I mean,
they would tell you something. You ask, hey, what's going on?
Right.
They would go, oh, we think this, we think that.
We've got to do this test. We've got to do that test. We have to monitor this, that, the other.
You guys.
When we talked to her, she's coming home today. That was yesterday, right? And
MRI as well. He did say that.
Yes, he did. Of course he did. Yes. So
whatever hospital bills he's got, he's not working here all week, he's not working at the fence company, he has no money coming in, and he has $1,600 he has to come up with, and his check is gone.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he can start a GoFundMe.
It sounds like he's getting a new car from his friend.
It sounds like that.
What? I didn't get that out of that.
I
thought he was asking us for help.
He was talking about Scat.
Getting another car.
Yeah. I'm sure Scat will take him to the used. I'm sure. Oh, they got a deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That always works out.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah. Just like the last.
Oh, yeah.
Tim in Florida, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Rover's LY.
Arbe, what's happening?
Not much, man. Well, first, I just wanted to call and say thank you for giving away that boob job. I mean, whether they're wall-eyed, crazy bastards that you're going to fix and make right, or if they're just a touch away from perfect, man, you're doing the Lord's work out there.
Well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I heard the calling.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He works through Rover.
Yes, I heard the calling, and he, when I touch my hands upon thy breast...
Oh.
The Lord speaketh through me. Whatever that means.
And then while I'm listening on the line, I can't help but say, I mean, why doesn't Jeffrey just understand that, like, everything about his life would be so much easier if he just said the truth?
Well, I don't know what it is. For some reason, Jeffrey is averse to the truth. He will not tell the truth about anything. I think it's because he knows what kind of reaction it would get if his wife has been in the hospital since Monday, and I asked him, so what did the doctor say? And if he were to tell the truth and say, I haven't talked to anyone about it, the reaction from people would be, what? How is that possible? What's wrong with you? And he knows that. So he tries to concoct a story to make it seem like he's interested in what's going on, that he's aware of the situation.
Or he says, I was going to talk to them today.
Yeah. So it's only because he doesn't want to, he feels that he's going, he knows what the right thing to do is. He knows that. That's why he's able to lie about it. Like, he knows he should know what's going on. He knows he should have asked. That's why he feels the need to cover. But he just doesn't. He doesn't care enough to do those things. So it's, I mean, come on, think about this. She's been in there since Monday. How do you not know?
And
he doesn't know.
He left yesterday at 12:30 and never talked to her again. Yeah. All day, all night.
Expecting her to come home yesterday. When he left at noon yesterday, he thought she's coming home later that day.
Okay, so when would you call? Maybe 5 or 6, 7, go,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah, 4:30, 5.
Yeah, go, hey, what's the update? Do you want me to come get you or get a ride?
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Not one call. Nothing. Waco says, at least Jeffrey saved a good chunk of his tax return for emergencies, right? Yeah, no.
No, groceries. What did he say? Halloween candy?
45 days, that's $7,000 gone. Beth writes, good morning, Rover. It's Beth, the one with the bad feet. No, that is not cheese on my toes, Dieter. It is the antiseptic they wash your feet with before surgery.
Okay. I look like cheese.
The toe I'm having amputated is the one on my left foot next to my big toe. It's actually the third toe, but one is already gone, so it's now her second toe.
Can we see it again?
Here's that original picture.
Well, here's the original
picture. Yeah.
So which one are they getting rid of? The left foot.
Yeah, this one toe off that, or two toes.
The middle toe. Your middle toe.
The middle, the long, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Here's new pictures that she sent.
Oh, okay.
These pictures were taken 6 days apart. The infection has already started to infect the bone and is in the bone.
Oh, what am I even looking at?
Oh, I don't know.
It looks like a claw, like a lobster claw.
Yeah.
It's just two toes left.
Well, this is early on.
Okay, it's the inside of it.
That's just the side of her toe.
Yeah, the inside.
Yeah.
The toes touch.
Rover, what's this from again? This is diabetes?
Diabetes, okay. That's right. Now that's what it looks like now. It looks like remember the lesion of doom in Jeffrey's mouth, that big pussy sore? That's what it looks like. I mean, you can see that infection.
And they're crossed over.
Are on purpose, just for the shot, maybe?
No. This is how her toes are now.
I'll get a cramp and my toes will cross sometimes.
Huh. Why wouldn't you just amputate your feet?
Well, you still want to walk.
Yeah, I want to walk.
Your heel, the balls of your feet, Rover.
You just cut everything off under the knee.
You can't walk with that.
Until your leg.
You can walk with no toes.
But those decrepit feet?
Yeah.
Walk on your heels. Like
a stump is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have a stump.
I mean, a little flat. I'm sorry. Rectangle thing for your foot. Toeless rectangle.
Curious George writes, good morning, Rover. Not sure if you've noticed, but I stopped calling into the regular show and the aftermath. I hadn't noticed. Did you guys? I got tired of the hate towards me for my questions. But the difficult part is that my questions keep mounting up of things I want to ask you and your crew. Is there any way you can have a late show similar to Jeffrey's birthday blowout show where all you do is take questions from fans so I can get all my questions answered once and for all?
So like a special show just for Curious George to ask questions?
He wants us to come in at 2 in the morning. Just...
That won't get any hate directed towards him, no.
Just call in the aftermath. Talk to those guys.
Call in whenever you want.
And Mike writes, yo, Rover, I find it hilarious that Dieter is now on the butt end of a jerk cop's whim. He's not bending over backwards to defend the cop's actions anymore. Everyone's been by a swaying truck in a storm, and the only thing you can do is panic, pass as quickly as possible. Luckily, next week you have a rare opportunity to get back at them. Vote yes on Ohio Issue 1 to cut their drug ticket fundraising scheme. It is every patriotic citizen's duty to restrict the justice system until they learn to straighten up.
Vote yes.
Yeah, Dieter.
Issue 1.
Dieter's upset that he got a speeding ticket. He's going 20 miles per hour over the speed
19.
Limit.
In a bad storm.
In a storm, no less. And he's like, the cop was a jerk for giving me a ticket. You were going 19 miles an hour over the speed
everybody
limit.
Everybody in danger.
With a swaying truck next to me, like the guy said.
Well, you just wait behind him.
I couldn't. I had to take a dump.
I've got to take a break. We do have the shizzy, the news coming up. What do you have?
regarding the election, I was listening to Oprah Winfrey yesterday, and I tell you, her message was so powerful. I'll play a little bit
of it.
Sure,
it was.
It wasn't one way or another, but it was. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll play it for you, and you decide. I'll have it for you next.
Well, she's there campaigning for someone.
Yeah, I get that.
Was it one way or the other?
I get that.
You know, just go out and vote however you like, you know, whatever you feel.
Be the judge.
Okay, we'll be back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Morning Glory supports a climate's right to choose. Gay warming, bans on assault marriage, and background checks for women's rights.
Where's the outrage over that?
Now back to the show.
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. What do you have on the way?
Oprah Winfrey was all over the news yesterday. She is out there getting the word out to vote. Pretty powerful stuff. We'll play a little bit for you coming up.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Gavin in Dayton, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Gavin.
Yo.
Yo.
So I got this whole Jeffrey thing is personally upsetting to me. It's nothing but a bold-faced lie. I have grown up with two brothers who both suffer from seizures. My nephew has seizures up to 16 a day, that's with medication. My nine-month-old niece has seizures. Never once have they kept any of those four people in my life overnight, much less 3 days in the hospital for having a seizure.
Yeah, we're past 3 days. We're at Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I guess we're at 4 days now.
4 nights, 5 days. This is our fifth day in the hospital. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, yeah, 4 nights. Yeah, five days. You're right.
There is no treatment for seizures other than medication, which takes time to build up into your system. The idea that the only reason any hospital will allow anyone to actually stay or keep an eye on them is if they are physically harmed. So unless there was a seizure involved where they were possibly driving and in a car wreck, they would not be held at the hospital. The hospital can do nothing for them. They would be seeing a specialist who would set up the CAT scan, MRI, a sleep study, which does not have to be done at night, can be done any point in time, and it only takes 3 hours.
See? I think something's wrong. He just doesn't know what's going on.
Anything's possible. I also think a strong possibility is that every time they get ready to release her, it's, my heart hurts.
Yeah, she wants to stay in there. All the attention she gets.
She likes being in the hospital.
Yeah, you get tests, you get food.
She goes in an ambulance, no joke. Almost once a week. I would estimate probably every other week, but, so.
Why?
There is, look, Jeffrey and his family, they're just not normal. I don't know. That's the best reason I can give you. I wouldn't want to do it.
But I understand not being normal. I mean, my family's a damn wreck, but it's still the fact that I can't help but feel that this is nothing but a complete lie. If he was worried about if he's going to be fired or not, any doctor could sign off on FMLA. So obviously there's no doctor to be signing off on an FMLA, which would take care of his time.
He hasn't talked to management, so he's not afraid of getting fired.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's afraid of getting fired.
He doesn't even think about that.
Yeah, he just...
He hasn't talked to Rover. He hasn't talked to me.
Well, he has a doctor's note. He's allowed to be out until December 30th, remember? From Mary Elizabeth's foot injury.
Gavin, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I forgot about the foot injury.
Wasn't she supposed to have surgery coming up?
Yeah, I don't remember when that's coming up, but yeah, it's coming up pretty soon.
Are you ready for the Well, I don't know how you can have that surgery done if you
yeah. She had the boot on still seizures. When I saw her.
Are you ready for the shizzy?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
So I was listening to this on my way home yesterday, and I have to admit it was pretty powerful stuff. I think that sometimes celebrities can do more harm than good when it comes to stumping for people, whether it's Republican or for Democrats. And the latest person out there is Oprah Winfrey. Now, yes, she is out there going door to door for Stacey Abrams. Stacey is a Democrat who's running for Georgia, governor in Georgia. And when she started this speech, she was saying, I'm an independent. I've voted Republican and I voted Democrat. She said that she called Stacey up on her cell phone and said, Stacey, it's Oprah Winfrey. And she said, I like what you're saying. I like the message that you're saying. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't what she was preaching to us yesterday. What she was saying yesterday is just a little bit, the broader message is whoever you're going to vote for.
We have our inalienable right to vote because the one place where we're all equal, where is it? It's at the polls. And I'm here today because I know you know that. But I just came to remind you of the power. I'm here today because of Stacey Abrams. And I'm here today. And I'm here today.
As Stacey said, not taking one side or the other.
Because of the women who were lynched, who were humiliated, who were discriminated against, who were suppressed, who were repressed and oppressed for the right for the equality at the polls. And I want you to know that their blood has seeped into my DNA, and I refuse to let their sacrifices be in vain. For all those who...
Removed?
Huh? What's that?
Were you moved? Was it powerful?
Well, there's a lot, it was a lot longer than that.
Well, obviously, it's a lot longer than that, but I don't have time to play the whole thing on the show.
You think she's going to run?
Yes.
No, she even said that.
Oh, no.
She even said that. She said towards the end, I am not here. I have no interest.
Of course she's saying that now.
She's
right now.
She's going to run.
I did have to laugh. I don't know much about Stacey Abrams, but I do know a lot about Donald Trump and what a clown he is. So yesterday he gave a television, he gave like a speech yesterday, and he talked about this Stacey Abrams, and he said, I'm sure she's a nice woman, she's not qualified to be governor. Not qualified. She's just not qualified. So I looked her up. She's been in the state legislature there for like 7 years or something. I think that probably qualifies you to be.
It's got to be 8 years or more, I think, Rover.
What was his qualification?
He won. He did something right.
You're right. You're right. His son, Donald
Trump.
The Apprentice.
That was it.
His son, Donald Trump Jr., wanted to inspire Republicans to vote on Election Day. Instead, he inspired Twitter users to ridicule him mercilessly because on Wednesday, he released a Get Out the Vote video on Twitter with his girlfriend and former Fox News host, Kimberly
Guilfoyle.
And there's a problem with the messaging. The election
is.
Well, this is.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Here it is. Oh, it's not playing. Hold on. Oh, wait. Sorry. My fault.
I'm Kimberly Guilfoyle.
And I'm Donald Trump Jr.
The mainstream media and the liberal mob are working hard to stop President Trump.
But we know that every day, my father, our president, is fighting to keep his promise to the American people. And that's why we need you to fight for him.
This November 6th, we need every patriot to get to the polls.
Let your voice be heard loud and clear.
Vote Republican.
Because together, we will keep making America great.
So right. He tweets that video out, but in his message, he tweets the wrong date. In 7 days, we need... What does it say? In 7 days,
every patriot to get to the polls.
Well, that's when Republicans go vote. That's fine. 7 days, that's when Republicans vote.
On Wednesday. That's
the wrong day. Yeah.
Democrats on Tuesday. Yeah.
So it was, everyone was just ripping him apart. Like, dude, you have the wrong
day.
I
got to say, that was really cheaply produced. That was bad. Like, just the production quality and everything about it was chintzy. With all the money that they have, you'd think you'd have some better video production
quality. Did you see the other Trump video that he tweeted?
The one about the immigrants?
Yeah. I don't have that because there's a lot of cussing in it, but did you see that?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, let me get that for you.
Oh, God. Tennessee executed death row inmate Edmund Zagorski yesterday.
Who's that?
Last night. We had talked about this yesterday. Remember, he chose not to have lethal injection.
Is this the electric chair
guy? The electric chair. It did go off. Oh. It did. He did die. He's the second person executed by Tennessee this year. He was 63 years old.
What did this guy do?
He was put to death after he was convicted for the 1983 murders of two men that he lured into the woods claiming he was going to sell them some pot. Instead, he just shot them. He cut their throats and he took their money. So for, I'm doing this for Dieter, for his last meal.
Yeah, what do you have?
Pickled pig's knuckles and tails.
Oh my God, that's almost a punishment in and of itself. You could get that down. I'd let the guy out of jail. Oh.
Yeah. What if that was the goal? You finish this, we'll let you walk. I think he did that just to make them go and get this. This isn't a common item, pig knuckles.
Where is this? What's
Tennessee?
In Tennessee, I don't know. You never know.
Okay, maybe here. I've never heard of it in the South.
His last words were, "Let's rock."
Really?
Yes. Isn't that weird? Two stories of people being put to death and their last words are bizarre. The one guy goes, his execution was delayed, and he's like, "Sorry, I got caught in traffic."
Ha ha ha.
Crickets, right? And then this guy goes, "Let's rock."
Let's rock. Metal.
That's weird. And I found a different story that he was supposed to be executed earlier, but they put it off because they were, whatever they have to figure out is lethal injection. So they put it off from earlier this month in October, from last month. And he said, "I don't want a last meal." So the inmates all got together and they're like, "Okay, let's get him pizza. We'll do pizza." So this time he's like, "All right, if I'm going to have a last meal, I'm going to do the pig's knuckles." Who chooses that?
Okay.
It's just weird. And
by the way, don't kill anyone because 35 years later, you may pay the price. I mean, that's how long it took to execute this guy.
He had a full life.
Yeah.
After.
I mean, it's, I'm sure, not great because you're sitting in a little cage, but still.
Canada could soon become the first country in the world to require cigarette manufacturers to include warnings about the dangers of tobacco. And they would do that by putting a message on individual cigarettes. The government has launched a consultation process looking at regulations around warnings on the products. And you'll see on RMG TV that
it just says smoking causes cancer on every cigarette.
It's like a band on the cigarette.
Okay.
Well, we know, guys. We know.
Yeah, but when it's on the box, you don't really look at that. If it's on every cigarette, you're looking down as you're hitting it.
He's right.
You don't think it will change?
In other countries, they have pictures of like diseased lungs on there and premature babies on the box.
Yeah, but you could just put the box in your pocket. When you actually have the cigarette in your hand as you're hitting it, does that influence you?
No.
Oh. You don't care?
No.
You don't think about that?
Okay.
Apple said yesterday that they're planning to stop reporting how many iPhones, iPads, and Macs that they're selling each quarter.
Because the number keeps going down all the time.
They're going to just stop doing that. And I just saw this. This is weird. I don't know if you know this. You might, Rover. Apple is exploring buying a stake in our company, iHeartMedia.
Oh, I'll believe it when I see it.
Is that good or bad? Or is that going to help anything?
I don't know.
It's weird.
Well, they want to take down Spotify. That's their plan. So they want to acquire more streaming services.
But I see other news stories that they're working on teaming up with Pandora. Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
it's weird.
Who knows what in the hell is going on?
Okay.
Before you know it, every Kiss FM station in the country will be called Beats One. That wouldn't surprise me.
All right. And finally, the Queen biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody. This weekend is the movie nationwide. Tons of people have already bought their tickets. The pre-sale has just gone through the roof. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 60%, I believe.
Oh, it went up. It was 53%.
Oh, yeah. And ticket pre-sales have exceeded all expectations.
First of all, this company, iHeart, they went all out. I mean, they got money for it, of course. It's not like they decided to do it. But all of the iHeart stations played Bohemian Rhapsody in its entirety, the song yesterday, all at the same time. So whatever radio station you tune to. It was playing that at, 9 a.m. yesterday, I think. And I was thinking about that, as a matter of fact. It's weird how, such an odd song could be considered such a good song.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's so all over the place. You know what I mean?
It's slow, then the heavy rocking.
Yeah. Charlie, you saw the movie. What'd you think? Who else saw it?
I saw it, too.
And what'd you guys think?
Quite a film. It's good. Go out and see it.
Are you just saying that because iHeart has a big deal with the...
It's a good movie. I don't know. It's an interesting movie. The actor does a pretty good job. He looks like...
Freddie Mercury
on stage. Like, he looks just like him, the way he moves and stuff. And it's good.
If you're a fan of Queen, definitely go check it out.
I feel like Freddie Mercury is unlikable.
Why is that?
You'd have to see it, but he's just kind of like a real pompous dick. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's how he really was in real life, so maybe the movie's portraying him correctly. I'm not sure.
But that's what I always thought of him anyway.
Oh, like,
I thought he was universally loved.
So did I. So I'm expecting this like really friendly kind of guy. Like, the very first scene, like, he walks up. These two guys are in a band, and he walks up. He's like, "Hey, I'm in your band now." And he's like, "Do you play? And do you play an instrument?" And he's like, "No." And then he's just in the band, and like, just the way his the way he was acting was such a dick. You just wouldn't want to be around Freddie Mercury. Mm-hmm. Like, I would not have any interest in hanging out with Freddie Mercury. Maybe that's how he really is, though. I don't know.
Make that up if that's how, like.
But I don't. I think the thing you're supposed to be seeing is he's supposed to look cool, and I didn't think he looked cool, and I thought he was just like, how annoying is this guy? Like, he just starts singing randomly all the time, just starts bursting out in song, and you're just like, this guy would be a you would not want to be around Freddie Mercury.
They go into his lifestyle outside the band and all that.
Oh yeah, right when
That's a favorite scene.
Yeah,
in Nash.
They held
hands.
Yeah. Well, we had
cuddled during that.
Yeah. We had pound cake to our right from the afternoon show.
Perfect,
super gay.
And then Jeffrey to my left.
Uh-huh.
And then so in certain scenes, you'd hear pound cake start going, "Yeah," and just start like fist pumping, like yes, during super gay stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then Jeffrey yelling right when Freddie Mercury grabs another guy's hands, Jeffrey just goes, "Yikes!"
the quiet theater. he progressively gets gayer through the movie.
Who, Jeffrey?
Yes.
There you go. That's a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Experience Rover's Morning Glory like never before with the RMG app. Stream audio and video, access your RMG Plus account, and more. Download it for free in the App Store today.
Get to RoverRadio.com right now. You want to sign up to win new boobs from Rover's Morning Glory and Dr. Matt Goldschmidt of the Cosmetic Surgery Center. Every year we give away a new pair, and now is your opportunity to walk away with a new lifetime treasure on your chest. A new rack from Rover's Morning Glory. Sign up at RoverRadio.com. We do have comedian Craig Robinson in studio. He's going to be at Hilarities all this weekend. We'll have him in right after this. We'll have Chris Matthews on the show a little bit later on this morning. And of course, you're always with us, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. We'll be back.
Rover's Morning Glory. To tell you how he really feels, but he wasn't born with enough middle fingers to express himself.
You guys, all right, here we go.
Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, comedian Craig Robinson is going to be at Hilarities all this weekend, and you can get tickets at hilarities.com. Yes, Doogie, what is
Sorry,
it?
Sorry, Saturday's show is sold out.
Saturday,
both sold out. So if you want to get put on the wait list, you can.
How does that work? Like, people buy tickets to the comedy show and they don't show up, and then you go get in?
Yep.
Who would buy a ticket and then doesn't show up?
My enemies.
Yeah? Like, I just heard, by the way, Craig is in the studio with us now.
Yeah, what's up? That's me right there. You know what I'm saying? I can see me as the way you see me. I mean, I can see me. Not the way you... I mean, I see me...
And there's about a quarter-second delay.
It's a quarter-second delay.
It throws some people off watching themselves up there.
It doesn't throw me off.
I heard that, speaking of buying your enemies, buying stuff, 50 Cent just bought
Ja Rule.
200 tickets to the front row of a Ja Rule concert so that the seats would be empty. Oh, that's a good, there you go. He's really posing.
Ass shot.
Oh,
that's comfortable. That's, okay, there you go.
That's nice.
That's why you get on the wait list for that right there.
Sexy.
Yeah, yeah, that 50 Cent Ja Rule thing. 50 is might be the funniest person on the planet, dude. He's hysterical.
What does the beef stem from? I read that, and I go, what are these guys? They're like, their ongoing feud, which apparently has been going on for like 15 years or something.
Okay, so, yeah, and it's about 2001, and let me preface this by saying I have no idea.
Yeah, okay.
But it's about 2001. They both were up for the Mark Twain Prize for their lyrics, and I think neither of them won it, and then it just spiral from that.
Does anything like that happen in comedy where you have a beef with someone and it continues for an extended period of time?
I think people do have beefs right now, but I don't know. I stay out of that stuff.
You don't get in the middle of any of that stuff.
I just love everybody.
Call somebody out right now, Craig.
Okay, Tyrex. You know who Tyrex is?
No, I don't.
That's him right there. We have a problem. He's my he's riding with me.
But you don't hate him though.
I don't think beef is about hate. I think beef is about like unexpressed love.
Yeah. You but there's no one that really that you in the comedy.
Me? No.
Yeah, no. You get along with everyone.
I get along with
I know that sometimes people, I've seen things like Joe Rogan confronted someone, I forget even
Mencia. Who,
Carlos Mencia, about stealing stuff, stealing jokes and things like that. But that is, that's not a common occurrence in the world of comedy.
Yeah, that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Back when that happened. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's happened over the years. I've heard stories about people confronting people, this, that, another, and then some people just paying people off, like, yep, sorry, you're right, you know. But I don't know this.
Does everything that you come up with, Craig, is it all, do you come up with it? Do you collaborate with anyone? Does someone say something to you that is funny and you take it and you work that? How does the process work?
Cocaine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That cocaine inspires.
Like, and all of a sudden, you see everything. You know what I'm saying? No, I get these inspirations. Let's see, like the other day, I was just looking at my apartment and it's like super junky. And then I was like, you know what? I keep it junky for a reason. I keep it junky because I like to give a woman the ambiance of being made love to in an alley. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So it's like
they all love that.
Right. You know, it's kinky, it's freaky. I'll get inspired. I don't know how to describe something.
Do you ever go through a period,
something to make me laugh inside, and then I'll, you know, throw it out and see if it sticks.
Do you ever go through a period where, I know people who write books will have writer's block or something. Do you ever go through a period where nothing is coming to you and you're thinking, have I exhausted my comedy resources, so to speak?
Yes, the past 14 years. Absolutely. You know, comedy, like, it's a natural thing for me. I've always been silly. I've always, you know, like wanted to make people laugh, and you know, you hear something, it's just there. And now sitting down trying to write, that's almost impossible for me. But like, I'll write something when inspiration hits. That's when I'll just let it flow.
Were you a class clown when you were a kid?
Yes, in eighth grade, I won class clown.
Did you get in any trouble for it? Or
I was a really, really good disciplined kid because my father didn't play that. He was the father of his house at 12 years old. His father died.
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
so he had to take
he
over his
at 12 years old.
Did he have brothers and sisters and stuff?
Yeah, older brother, but his brother's in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And, at that age, yeah, so he grew up no nonsense.
So almost anything that you would do as a kid, he's like, I had to take over the family at the age of 12, suck it up, like move on. You don't have
And he, you know, came from the projects and became an attorney. you know, a corporate attorney. So, you know, like I couldn't lie without getting in trouble.
He would know.
He would know.
he could sniff that out.
I live with Columbo. It's crazy.
So he became a corporate attorney, and he grew up in the projects, you said? That actually probably, in a way, sort of helps out because you probably have a strong sense of street smarts later in life as you're an attorney. And like you said, you can really sort of sniff out the BS you have real life.
I definitely have some of my father, some Jack Robinson residing in me. Yeah.
So he was no nonsense. Was he an attorney already at the time that you were born?
Let me see. I'm not sure. I think so. Yeah. And at one point he ran for alderman.
Oh yeah.
No. He was a school teacher at first, and then he became an attorney. He went to school and became an attorney. Yeah.
You were a school teacher too, I think, right?
Yeah, I taught K-8 music in Chicago.
Were the kids well behaved, or were they just like I can't imagine some of these teachers? But music class is kind of fun, so they would sort of enjoy coming to that. I would think.
Yeah, that was that, but there, it still has some kids that were like not there to be
to learn.
Yeah, there was a lot of discipline problems, but I would sometimes. Like I had this one class, they were classified as behavior disorder, and they had a security guard in the room with them all day with the teacher until they came to music class. And then they came to music class and they just let them go. And then, you know,
they were fine.
They were all over the place until I started to like talk about them like their peers talked about them. And then I got their respect, and then we would go like back and forth. And then I would sneak in, okay, so Beethoven. And then, you know, back to like joning with him.
Yeah. Did you ever feel, I guess it was K-8, so it wasn't high school. Like some of these teachers that are in high school, I talked to them on the phone. Some of them are actually scared sometimes at these kids. I've seen videos on the internet where teachers get attacked in their own classrooms. Nothing like that though.
I wasn't scared, and you cannot show fear no matter, you know, what stage you are in that game. You show fear. Being a teacher is over.
Do you miss any part? I mean, I'm sure you don't miss the paycheck because teachers don't get paid much. But do you miss any of that time of your life teaching kids?
I miss some of the single moms.
Yeah.
That was a blessing to be able to teach. And I taught music, so we would have these music programs. So I do miss, like, I would like to see what some of these kids are, you know, because I had some incredibly talented kids. One kid I know is like plays for this choir in Chicago. He's and producing music. He's amazing. So it's good to see that. But he had that before he met me. I just, you know, was able to say I was somebody like he could, you know, say, oh, my God, you know, and cultivate it and let him, you know, play the bass and piano and sing in my choir and stuff.
You're very into music yourself.
I am.
How did this come about? Were your parents into music as
yes,
well?
Yes. My mother was first chair cello in college, and she's minister music at our church, and my father plays a little bit here and there. So yeah, we grew up. It was like a piano upstairs, downstairs, is drums. I tried every instrument: clarinet, saxophone, trumpet.
I was forced to play the flute in fourth grade, and these guys still make fun of me for playing the flute in fourth grade. I didn't choose that.
It chose you.
It's not the most masculine instrument, though.
But it actually is. Look at it.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's phallic, I suppose you could say.
It's alpha as hell, dude.
Thank you, Nads. So you decide to teach
alpha as hell, bro.
You decide to teach music. Was that what you thought your calling would be? You're going to be a teacher.
I went to college I was studying music, and it was like, well, might as well teach, kind of thing. Like, you know, that was kind of the way it was going. It's like, I'll be a teacher, fine. Mm-hmm. And in comedy at that point. Speaking of choosing, comedy chose me. I felt, you know, because I at one point I was like, well, I was studying and teaching music, and I was like, well, maybe I'll be a musician. a singer, whatever. I bought a keyboard, and then comedy took over. I don't know. I can't describe it, but it was. I think what happened was I was watching. I would watch a lot of comedians. Like, oh, this is back when David Letterman used to wear gym shoes. You remember that?
Yeah.
You know, his suit and gym shoes.
Yeah.
So I watch him every night. I watch these comedians. And then I was like, man, that's amazing. But I always saw comedians as like superheroes or something. I didn't think it was something a regular person could do. Until a talent show at school, a homecoming show, something. Two guys I know went up and did comedy. And that changed everything. I was like, I could touch this person. And then so that was one of the first things I got serious about in my life. I was always super silly. And then comedy came along, and I was like, I got to crack this code.
It was your calling. And then, you knew almost immediately.
I've been wrote down to myself, said, you are going to be a great comedian. And I crossed out the words, going to be. So I read, you are a great comedian.
And you focused your entire life on that then. What did your parents think of that? I mean, your dad's an attorney.
Mom was a school teacher.
Yeah.
She retired. And then my father was an attorney. Yeah, they were not happy.
They didn't like this idea.
No, it was. And then I would like read quotes like I think Spike Lee said, parents are the biggest dream killers or something like that. So my father tried to talk me out of it. He's like, yo, there's only so many comedians that make it, this, that, and other. But it was, I was so far gone. I knew this was where I wanted to be.
There are, as you said, parents can be dream killers, but they also sometimes, like kids want to be in the NFL. Most kids aren't going to make it into the NFL, you know. They your parents have to tell you, hey, you're not going to make it in the NFL.
Tyrex, ladies and gentlemen. Tyrex.
There he is in a mask and a helmet. Walked into the studio. Looks good. I like that look.
He's from Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's born and raised Cleveland. Tell him, Todd. Well, wait, leave that on him. Let me take a selfie right quick. Don't get my code on the camera.
Like Kanye?
Oh, my God.
What do you think, by the way? Like, Kanye put his code in. Everyone got his code. It's 4 zeros.
6 zeros.
6 zeros.
It was at the time.
What do you think of Kanye? I mean, I look at that. I go, man, is this guy is mental, right? I mean, do you think the same thing?
Here's the thing. He's coming from a different planet. You know, imagine. Thanks, Todd. Imagine this, he's
opening up for you this weekend at Hilarities. And Craig Robinson, and Tyrex will be.
Frankie
Quinones.
Quinones. Here, I want you to imagine for a second, okay? You go by Rover, right?
Yes, yes. My real name is Shane, but I go by Rover.
Okay, Shane. Okay, Rover, Shane, it works. But just think, imagine there's a planet where everything you say, everything you do, they're going, what? Robert, like you just like
you can do no wrong. Everyone loves you.
It's your own planet.
Yeah,
and you know, and I think he's crossing to that realm.
Yeah.
where he lives on a planet where he can do no wrong. He, you know,
like Michael Jackson got to that point where it became no one would say, dude, that's crazy. We're not going to give you the drugs that we give to operations so that you can sleep. You know, like no one is there to rein you in, everyone.
But there's always someone.
Yeah.
To do that, but you know, Kanye's a Chicago guy, and I got a love for him, and you know he's finding his way. He just gets to find his way in front of everyone.
Does Chicago, where you're from? Does it have a bad rap, or is it as bad as people think with shootings and violence? And
it's a lot of violence.
Yeah,
it's a lot of not. I mean, I'm from the South Side, so yes, it's plenty that way. I didn't get caught up in a lot of that stuff. I knew some people who did, and know some people, but it's something's got to be done.
I'm still waiting. Trump was going to fix it. Remember, he could fix it in a weekend.
You,
I think
let
he
me
said.
Tell you why Kanye makes sense, something you might not understand.
Yeah,
that like he was talking about Larry Hoover should be free, right?
Okay, I don't know who Larry.
Larry Hoover is a notorious like gangster,
In the from Chicago?
Right, right.
Okay.
And he started like started the Gangsta Disciples, I think it was. But at some point they locked up all the OGs, all the older gangsters, and now these young gangsters, you know, don't have any code, you know, no respect, and you know, it's just all shooting. So somebody like Larry Hoover, if he were to be free, he'd come out and like restore order. Like so there's that kind of the school of thought.
That's one school of thought. I don't know if I would agree with that, but
like Kanye was saying, Larry Hoover began to turn his life around. Then he got railroaded, so it wasn't, you know. So there's it's not completely unfounded or not nonsensical what he was saying in some respects.
Yeah.
So there are things, but of course, somebody looking at Larry Hoover's records going to go, nah, well, he should never get out, you know. But there is some thought that somebody like that could come in and really, you know, because it's not going to be just military coming in. Not going to be, you know, you'd have to burn the city down.
Yeah.
So it's.
I know some people who live in Chicago. They told me that when they started criticizing the police a few years ago, and you know, there's a lot of corruption in the Chicago police. That what happened was the cops go, oh, you want to criticize us? Fine, and they basically almost stopped responding to things. In neighborhoods. My former boss lives there, and they're like, yeah, they just getting them to do anything. They're just like, throwing their hands up, whatever, you know.
That's not the way it should be.
No, obviously. Craig Robinson is going to be at Hilarities this weekend. You can get tickets at hilarities.com. I read you, I don't know if you're still a vegetarian. I read that last year.
Vegan.
You're full on vegan.
You can be fat and be a vegan, by the way. No, I was all last year. I was eating plant based, and I wouldn't say it was 100%. It was probably 90% because my edibles are not vegan. But yeah, all last year, and then you know what happened? I went to France for New Year's. I think it's illegal to be a vegan in France.
Uh-huh.
I went there. And between the duck foie gras and the
you couldn't control yourself.
It was over. And then so then I like slowly like I was like, oh, maybe I have meat once a month, and then it grew to we ate at Mabel's last night and then Lola's the night before and Slimans.
You're eating meat all the time.
I've been here 2 days and eating all those places.
Now, did you notice any difference when you're eating?
1,000%.
You did.
Oh my God, energy. It just you know, I didn't need that afternoon nap.
From eating meat or when you were vegan? When you were vegan, you felt better.
Vegan, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's you know, there's this thing about getting your protein right. But yeah, it was. I highly recommend you try it for a couple of months.
So you eat edibles every day?
No. Just you know, every once in a while, like if I'm, I don't turn up that much. Like if I go see a you know music concert,
yeah,
or you know maybe a Earth, Wind & Fire, you know something like that. Like I might.
You're the only guy. People think I read about you that you got popped for marijuana in Jamaica. And people think
that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
No.
Oh, I thought you got
popped for ecstasy in the Bahamas.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you got because one of my guys. People think
popped
like
for marijuana in Jamaica. That's impossible.
No, one of my guys did. Charlie? The cops pulled us over.
Well, we bought weed off a guy in a jet ski. He swam up to us and just was like, "Here, have some weed." And we're like, "Cool." And then we went to the club later and we had just pockets full of weed, thinking we're in Jamaica. It's cool. And they immediately stole it all from me and threw it away. And I was like, I thought that's what you guys do down here.
I saw cops in Jamaica smoking weed.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't weed. You got popped for ecstasy in Jamaica.
In Bahamas.
Oh,
I was leaving the Bahamas. And hit, you know, it was so bad. It was like the government was on strike. But it was I forgot it was in my bag. I had this great vacation with my family, and I had this stuff from Canada. I forgot it was in my bag, and a guy opened, it was, you know, checking the bags and stuff. He opened, and I swear, it flew.
Just popped right into his hands.
He was like,
basically.
What's this? I said, aspirin. And he was like, oh, okay. And then you know, they helped me for a while, and I ended up making my show that night. You know, they took me to the little
Like jail, a holding cell or something?
Holding, and they were very nice. Like, they had two other people that came, and they handcuffed them, and but they didn't handcuff me, and then they took pictures. We took pictures, and then they took me to the court, the magistrate, and he was like, $1,000, and you have to leave the country immediately. I'm like, that's what I'm trying to do. And so then we...
Are you ever allowed back in the?
I just have vacation there.
Yeah.
But I can't do that stuff anymore. It just like I don't know if you ever did. It just makes me.
I've done ecstasy. I think twice in my life. I was I was dating a porn star actually. Like this is almost 20 years ago.
This is amazing.
What?
A porn star in ecstasy? That's fantastic. Yeah,
it's almost like unheard of, right? So I'm not really
I'm talking about your experience. That must have been...
Well, I started dating this porn star back, it's like 99, I guess, a long time ago. She was... This is like when porn, like when the porn companies like Vivid, who she worked for, were huge back. Now it's like everyone's making porn in their basement and putting on YouPorn or whatever. And I'm not really into drugs. But she loved smoking weed, and she loved ecstasy. So I tried it, and I'm not an outgoing person normally. Like, holy mackerel, I took this ecstasy, and we went out to a club, and I'm just talking to everyone. And I remember there was a guy in the bathroom who got in a fight. I think he got hit in the head with a bottle, and he's bleeding. And I go up to him. I'm like, hey, man. Are you okay? And I'm like, you know, like talking to these people. It was so weird.
So
it really,
the love. It's ecstasy.
Yeah,
it was. And that's back when stuff was good. I bet like 10, 15 years ago, man, or whatever it was, I used to do it. But now, like I think I had some, like, I don't know, a couple months ago, and it just immediately I'm going to vomit. It's horrible. It's like.
Why? What is it too strong now?
I don't know
too,
what it is, but it's like I can't. Do it anymore.
Yeah.
And like I said, I just do a little edibles now and then.
Yeah.
I don't even really smoke like that anymore.
Are you live out in California? Is that where you're based? Yeah. Everyone is, I mean, doing marijuana out there. Like literally every single person
I know. It was like that for a time. Like you know, especially before it became like popular, legal and all, but you would find out people did marijuana. Oh, you smoke?
Yeah.
It used to be such a thing.
Yeah.
Now it's like nothing.
You, Craig Robinson is here with this. Will be at Hilarities all this weekend. The show's Saturday night. They're sold out. So I guess you have tonight's shows only 7:30 and 10 o'clock available. You're not married.
No.
Are any plan? Would you ever like to get married or have kids or anything? Or
it looks like it could with the right person, it would be heaven.
Does your mother?
My parents are married, you know, to this day, and I feel like I would have a good idea of what's happened. And I have a girlfriend, and you know, we'll see what happens.
How long have you been dating her?
Trudging along, it's about 4 years now.
4 years. Yeah. So it's not that Kerry Washington, is it? I heard you were dating her.
No, I did a movie with Kerry.
I thought you dated her too. You never dated her.
No. Oh,
I just read that. That was a rumor on the. I'd start that rumor too if I were you.
Let me tell you, Kerry Washington is. Ultimate woman.
Yeah,
she's brilliant. She speaks different languages. She sings. That she's funny.
You would marry Kerry Washington if you could.
She's like, she's dope.
How'd you meet your girlfriend?
My girl is dope as well, though. We met at a barbecue.
Yeah,
like about 6-7 years.
You hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
And you haven't popped the question yet.
I have not.
You don't know if you ever will. Your parents, do they?
It gets real close, and then it's like a roller coaster. You know? Like, oh, man, this is a great place. Oh, whoa.
Your parents, is your mom bust your balls about it and be like, you need to settle down, Craig?
A little bit here and there.
I want some grandkids.
A little bit here and there. But they do have grandkids. So, and my sister just adopted a couple more, so.
Two more kids.
Actually, three she adopted.
Three kids that she adopted.
She had three, and then she adopted three. So she adopted one, and then two are in her foster care now.
And
she's an angel.
Does she run like a foster home? Or is she going to permanently keep these kids?
She would like to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once you meet these kids and hang out with them, it's like, okay, you're family now.
Yeah. You have how many brothers and sisters?
I have a older sister, younger brother.
I know that you do stuff.
And then an older brother and sister from my father's liaison before he got married.
Oh. So he didn't. It was before he got married. Because I know you do stuff with one of your brothers. I think that music stuff.
Nasty Delicious is my band. Yeah.
And that's your younger brother that you do.
Chris Robb. We'll be in New York on November 10th at the Sony Theater, and then L.A. on November 17th at the Mint. If anybody's
Do you stay in touch with your older brothers from this other relationship
Older sister. Matter of fact, me and my older brother got close to over the past like 7 years.
Yeah.
We built a relationship, and the older sister, I kind of knew her like throughout life.
Yeah. Craig Robinson, he's in with who else is who's opening for you this week?
Frankie Quinones. You got to check this video out. It's called a Cholo Fit. Cholo Fit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then he plays a character named Creeper, but he's opening the show, and then Tyrex is in the middle doing a feature spot.
Does he open up all of your shows for you, or is it only some? Do you guys travel together?
Tyrex, he's opened the majority of the shows, but sometimes, you know, I'll bring on other cats. Yeah.
Yeah. The Office. People know you from The Office.
Yes.
Someone just asked me today. They said, since you're coming in, I have to ask if they reboot everything or they bring things back, like that Roseanne show that they bring back. But hey, I don't think there's been enough time for them to bring something back. Has
100% agree with that. It's like, you know, we just went off in 2015.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, 3 years later. But there's been talk, like, I don't know how the rumor got started, but I don't know anything about a reboot of The Office as of yet. And it would, at this point, it seems like it would be almost impossible because, you know, so many people are doing so many other things. So, you know, to get contracts and stuff together like that would be crazy. So I think maybe a reunion episode would be, you know, more feasible. But I don't know. I have not heard.
You'd be on board if they came to you and they said, we want to do like a 1 hour special or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely.
You would say, let's do it. I'll work my schedule around that.
Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah. Make it happen. That was a fun time in life, man. And it's being on that show. It's like you have friends everywhere. You know, I mean, I remember being in Israel and somebody drove past the Office. it's been nothing but a blessing in my life.
Did you? How'd you get on that show? Did they make you audition?
Yes.
So
I auditioned, and you know how we would do those talking heads to the camera.
Yeah,
it was like they had you just read several of those paragraphs.
So did you do anything specifically to stand out, or what'd you do?
Here's the thing. What's interesting about that, it's such a deadpan show, and I love deadpan comedy, like Harvey Korman and Leslie Nielsen, Peter Sellers, you know, I love that, like just being super serious about the silliest things. So for that to come along, it was just natural for me to, you know, say these ridiculous things and like be serious about it and committed to it. So that's what happened. And what also helped was I had this song out at the time with a buddy. It was a video we did, Somebody's Effing My Lady.
Uh-huh.
And when I walked in, Greg Daniels was like, hey, I saw your video. It doesn't get any funnier than that. So I'm like, oh.
So that puts you up, makes you stand out from everyone else's.
It certainly made him, aware of aware of everybody who's coming in.
How does it change your life? Because I'm sure you're doing stuff obviously before that show, but I mean, that once you get on a network show like that, how does that change your life?
Well, I'm still in the same apartment.
Get
so there's that. Yeah, I should have moved 10 years ago, but there's that. I'm looking, it, you know, get you some more money on the road, get you some more notoriety, and like I said, you get friends. It's like you got friends everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's
you're scoring more chicks at that point than ever before in your life, right? It's almost like a waterfall of women, I'm guessing.
I wouldn't say a waterfall. You know what it does? It breaks the ice easier.
Sure.
It's like you don't have to go, you know.
It's great to get laid, no doubt. But what about when you have to wonder now if you're dating a girl or something when you're on TV, you have to wonder, is this chick really into me, or is she dating me just because she wants to date a guy who's on TV?
I'm an acquired taste, so you have to like me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have a girlfriend, so it's like, that's not even a thought right now.
Yeah. The shows tonight, two shows tonight, 7:30 and 10 o'clock.
Right.
Tomorrow, sold out. Get tickets at hilarities.com. I'll give you the number, 216-736-4242. That's 216-736-4242. And Craig, I appreciate you coming on. Have fun while you're here in town. Eat lots of meat. What else? Do you have any projects that you're working on that people may?
Yeah. I did a movie called Timmy Failure this year. And it's a Disney movie. It's not a cartoon. And then I did Dolomite is my name. It's Eddie Murphy plays Dolomite. So that'll be out next year. And then there's a movie out right now. This came out October 19th, and it's like streaming, I think Amazon, I don't know. But it's called An Evening with Beverly Loughlin, and it's by far the strangest thing I've ever done.
What is it? What's it about?
It's a story about, true love never dies. It's got Aubrey Plaza, Jermaine Clement. It's a quirky comedy. And my character is Beverly Loughlin. He's a entertainer who sings at like rundown hotels. He's influenced by Scottish culture from the way he dresses to the songs he sings, and he's codependent with another man.
Okay,
yeah,
that does sound strange.
Super strange.
So you said this movie Dolomite that Eddie Murphy
that comes out next year. Next year, this is An Evening with Beverly Loughlin that I just described, and then. Timmy Failure
is Eddie Murphy was he I mean the stuff that he put out those comedy specials that he put out back in the day you could still watch those today instead. I just watched a George Carlin special, like, you know how you're on YouTube and it will start telling you watch this. Absolutely. Or whatever. I watched a George Carlin thing from like 20 years ago that still stands up today. Eddie Murphy stuff still stands up today. Yeah. What's he like to work
with? These are truth tellers, man. Eddie, dude, I could not have dreamt this situation. Like, you hear so much stuff about people, you know, as you go through Hollywood, and then you work with them. Like, Eddie was awesome. Like, he was regaling.
Because you hear bad stories about. All he does is smoke weed 24/7 and is a pain in the ass to work with. That's what I've heard.
Nope. Regaling us with tales of, you know, his life and... Like, he was engaging, and we was laughing. It was, like I said, and he's a hero of mine, you know. I could not, like I said, I could not have dreamt it.
Do your parents, they didn't want you to get into comedy?
No, they didn't.
When did they when did they change their mind, and when did they say, Craig, you made the right decision? What was it?
They still give me grief about
it. They still, even to this day.
Well, I remember my father saying, "You're gonna lose that good job talking about teaching." they're proud. They're proud. It flipped. I don't know exactly when it flipped, but my father's the kind of guy who needle at you.
Yeah.
We years ago we'd be at a restaurant. Like, how come nobody's you're supposed to be famous? How come
no one's come up to ask for an autograph
and
yet?
And then people would come up and ask for autographs. I see, you know, you don't have any black people really. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's never.
So he's always, it doesn't matter what you do, how successful you are, he's still going to come at you.
I think they've come across now because, you know, they got a loan from me and then I told them they didn't have to pay it back, you know.
That helped. His comedy thing was smart, yeah.
And also I took them on Family Feud. We did Celebrity Family Feud. So now everybody's famous.
Does it cause when you become successful, when you get on TV, you start making, I'm guessing, I don't know, celebrity net worth says you're worth $6 million, but I know how inaccurate celebrity net worth can be.
Call my accountants.
Does it cause any grief in the family or anything where people ask you for money? Or does it, everyone goes, I would love to be rich and famous. Is there a downside to it?
Let me see. Down. I mean, yeah, people do ask for money a lot. And, you know, I'm very compassionate. I always say everybody's good for $400.
Can I have $400?
but you know, I guess the downside would be, you know, when people do ask, you hear what they're going through. You know, your heart wrenches, whatever. But you still got to be smart or else you go broke, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's like I said, I'm in the same apartment. I'm not super moved by the fame and stuff. I love, you know, engaging with people and you know, having fans. It's almost unbelievable.
The part that I like best, we travel, you know, so we're on stations all over the country and we travel a lot. And that's actually one of the things I like best about the job is just meeting like a regular guy who's a garbage man in Tucson or something, you know. I love just talking to just regular people about all sorts of stuff. I get enjoyment
from
that.
Not to mention how you touch, you don't know how you touch in somebody's life.
The stories that you hear from people, yeah.
People tell me, like, you know, the office got me through college or, you know, my mom was sick or this is the only thing that we bond over.
Right.
You know, or like...
You forget sometimes, don't you?
I'm always careful, you know, about like how I treat people. Because, like, one guy came up to me, man, I wanted to cry because he was like, look, me and my brother will watch your movies. You know, my brother died. I came to see your show. And, you know, it just, you know, so, you know, we toast one of your brother, you know, like that. That's, you can't touch that.
Right,
you know
right.
I mean? That's bigger than everybody.
Yeah, you sometimes forget. I'll talk to people or you'll get an email from people of something and of how, you know, I just come into work. We're doing it. We have a good time here every day. But sometimes you forget that.
People are going through real life situations.
Right, right.
And, you know, we offer an escape and relief and, you know, some love and some hope.
Well, you can get that tonight at Hilarities, 7:30 and 10 o'clock tonight. For tickets, go to hilarities.com or 216-736-4242. Craig Robinson, thank you for coming in, my man. Have fun this weekend with the shows.
Man, thank you for having me. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you.
And
thank you,
Cleveland, and everybody else. I see y'all when I come to your town, but Cleveland, I see you tonight.
All right. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Sure, you might be fat, but look at the bright side. It makes you harder to kidnap.
Just forget it.
Yep, you'll get hours of positivity listening to Rover's Morning Glory.
We have the Shizzy. Are you ready for the news, Shizzy? Here we go.
Here to Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
The oldest victim of the deadly Pittsburgh synagogue shooting will be laid to rest today. It's been a week-long, pretty emotional series of funerals and memorials that have happened all week. This, of course, is the synagogue attack that happened in Pittsburgh. So this particular person that is going to be buried today, Rose Malinger, 97 years old.
And that's the way she goes. After 97 years, some kook goes in there.
Yeah. The strip club DJ accused of sending bomb-like devices to critics of President Donald Trump is scheduled for a hearing today in federal court. This will happen in Miami. Cesar Sayoc, who's 56, they believe he is the source of at least 15 explosive packages. So he will be in court today. He's facing 5 charges, including interstate transportation of an explosive, illegal mailing of an explosive, and threats against former presidents. So Google engineers and other company workers around the world, they walked off their job yesterday to protest the internet company's lenient treatment of executives accused of sexual misconduct. hundreds of employees staged their walkouts all around the world. Would you do that if that happened here?
No.
Does it accomplish anything?
No, this is people just wanting to get out of the job for half a day or whatever.
Yeah, you get out of work.
It's what it is.
Hashtag.
It's like every school walkout I participated in.
Yeah, did you believe in it?
No, of course not. But I just wanted to get out of class.
It was hashtag Google walkout.
I find it, you know, people are walking out. You don't know the individual cases that you know, you could say, oh, they're too lenient. This guy who was accused of sex. But you don't know the details of that case. You don't know.
They said in the last 2 years, 48 people have been terminated for sexual harassment, including 13 who were senior managers and above. They said none of the individuals received an exit package for that firing. So, but people are still not happy. Usually we talk about NFL players if they take a knee during the national anthem.
Uh-huh.
So this happened last night, but it wasn't a member of the San Francisco 49ers football team. A member of the cheerleading squad appeared to take a knee during the national anthem before.
Oh, my God.
Last night's game.
I've never seen that. Doing this? You got to be kidding me.
So this picture, this story has gone everywhere. The picture's viral. She is, in fact, on RMG TV on her knee.
She'll be fired.
You think
will
so?
She?
Yeah.
How could she be?
Can you?
Because after all that stuff with Colin, they got rid of him.
I don't think they're going to put up with this crap with these cheerleaders.
I think they're trying to move on from it.
Cheerleaders are a dime a dozen. I hate to tell you.
Don't they get paid like, what, $100 a game?
Yeah. A lot of chicks that come in there and dance around, shake their ass, wave those little things in the air.
But she has the right to do that.
Yeah, okay. But they have the right to fire her.
It's going
to
be a bigger headache if you fire her.
This happened last year also. Another cheerleader took a knee.
What team?
I don't know, but it was the 2017.
Huh.
So.
We'll see what happens if they fire her. A 16-year-old student nearly dropped the ball when he put off getting hernia surgery because he had school commitments. It just wasn't the right time. Mm-hmm. Well, that caused caused one of his testicles to rotate 260 degrees.
Oh, my God. That's almost a full rotation.
Yeah, they said that he ended up with a testicular torsion, which crushes the nuts of nearly 4 out of 100,000 boys. It's very rare.
It's just spinning on one side.
It's when the
just one testicle.
Yeah, it's completely
not the whole scrotum, just one testicle, dear.
Yeah, right.
The rare condition occurs when a testicle rotates, choking off the spermatic cord that feeds blood vessels, or blood to the scrotum, rather. They said the reduced blood flow causes sudden and severe pain as well as swelling. So they say, don't mess around with that. If something happens, definitely don't mess around. Get that checked out.
They lose the nut?
I don't think so. Medical emergency team of surgeons.
Came close to.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't say they took it off. Kim Kardashian had to apologize because she used the R word.
You have the video.
In an Instagram video.
Here it is.
She was at a Halloween party.
All right. Kim Kardashian at a Halloween party. All right, so she dresses as
Pam Anderson.
As Pamela Anderson?
She's not in that video. She's the one talking in the video.
Okay, and so she said,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it. She apologized because people were really upset. People were offended.
People aren't really upset. Here's what happens. I'll put this in its simplest terms. I thought about this. So Kim Kardashian, huge celebrity, millions and millions of dollars. Who knows what she's worth? $100 million? I mean, that's a lot, right?
$300 million, I'd say.
Huge celebrity, very powerful. She drops the R word when talking to her friend about this Halloween costume. No one is really outraged by that. What it really is are a bunch of losers who are unsatisfied with their own lives, that just want to, they want to take her down a notch. They want...
I disagree.
Oh,
you
I don't.
You mean to tell me a parent
they
that
want,
whose child
The people complaining don't have retarded
you don't
kids,
know
okay?
That.
They don't.
You don't
I'm telling
know that.
You, they don't, okay?
You don't know that.
These people complaining don't have kids that are afflicted with some sort of mental slowness, okay? This is just people wanting to take you down a notch. And people who are unsatisfied with their own lives that are complaining about this. No one in their right mind can really be that bent out of shape over this. I mean, you really can't.
They tell us here not to say that word.
I don't care what they tell us. They could kiss my ass. I'm telling you, all right? The people who complain about this are only complaining. It's the same thing with us. They're only complaining not because they're so offended by it, not because they have mentally challenged kids. They're complaining because their lives are so miserable that they have very little control over anything. And this is one way that you can get on the internet and talk to. You can take Kim Kardashian, a huge, powerful, very rich celebrity, down a notch. Ha, ha, ha. Look what I did. I showed her.
Well, she did apologize. She said, I want to apologize for what I said in a recent video post that is inappropriate and insensitive to the special needs community. I try to learn from my mistakes, and this is one of those times that I'm learning. Please know that my intention is always pure. So she did apologize, and she deleted the video. There you go. That's the Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Do guys actually look you in the eyes when talking to you? Has age or a child left you with something that resembles a pair of tube socks hanging from your chest?
Wouldn't you like to be motivated by someone like me?
Well, good news. Rover's Morning Glory is giving away a free boob job. Just go to roverradio.com and register for a new rack from Dr. Matt Goldschmidt. Brought to you by the Cosmetic Surgery Center and Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, go there and sign up. You want new boobs? Roverradio.com. We can help you out, but only if you sign up. If you entered at the booby booth at Roverfest over the summer, no need to enter again. We have your entry. We're going to go through all of the entries. We're going to narrow it down to a few girls. We'll bring you into the studio. We'll decide who gets the new rack here live on the air. And then, boom. I know that a year or two ago, the girl went in, got it done like a week later. It's super fast. Save the thousands of dollars it costs to get this done by winning a new pair from Rover's Morning Glory and Dr. Matt Goldschmidt of the Cosmetic Surgery Center. Enter now at roverradio.com. We'll be back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Life is full of heartache, misery, failure. So is Rover's Morning Glory.
This is bad in every sense.
Now back to the show.
Try not to kill yourself.
I want to tell you who I believe are the worst human beings in town right now. This is a local story, but I think you can relate to this no matter where you're listening to the show from. There was a story that came out a week or so ago about people who went to a haunted house, and they go, I went into this haunted house and they threw my boyfriend down onto it. There was a bed in there, and they threw my boyfriend down onto a bed, and they said, I'm going to rape you. This was at Akron Fright Fest at Kim Tam Park in Uniontown, wherever the hell that is. This was back on October 13th, this incident happened about 2 weeks ago. There are 4 haunted houses there. It's like a big haunted house complex, I guess. And the 4th one requires an extra $30 and a signed waiver. So they didn't want to pay extra for that because they're cheapskates. While in the first house, they say an employee repeatedly told the woman to, quote, get on all fours and pushed her into a plywood wall. In the second house, a worker forced the man onto a bed and thrusted against him. The couple said the employee stated, I'm going to rape him. Now, these people came out. I remember when this story came out about a week or two ago, and they were saying, oh, my God, it was so horrible in this haunted house. And if you go back at the time, the guy's even like, I mean, I wasn't like, you know, I just thought it was weird. It wasn't like I was damaged or anything. It was okay. You know, I wasn't like traumatized by it or anything.
But they grabbed him and they were dry humping him.
That's right. Well, so, according to them.
Okay.
Well, here we are 2 weeks later. Didn't waste any time at all. They filed a lawsuit against the haunted house. They're seeking more than $50,000 in damages.
Wow.
This is the biggest. These people are losers. These people suck. You suck at life. You blow. And probably the way that the court filings work is that you have to say, when they say over $50,000, that's probably just when they file, is it over or under $50,000? They could be seeking $4 million for all we know. I don't know. But it's more than $50,000. Tell me how you got $50,000 of damages by going to this haunted house. Even if that stuff is all true. Even if it's true. How? What? How? In 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, how did you accrue $50,000 of damages?
They're scarred from it.
Clearly, there was something traumatizing that happened.
And they're trying to shut it down. That's
these
what.
People suck. You people with this lawsuit are the worst two human beings in the world. You are terrible, money-grubbing people. $50,000 in damages, my ass.
I'm confused on there's 400 houses.
Yes.
And is there like one that's all...
One is supposed to be extreme and you need to sign a waiver and it costs an extra $30.
And that one, they like kick your ass or
they're
something.
They're like, oh, we're cheap. We don't want to pay to get into that one.
So it wasn't that one. It was just another one leading up to
it. Yeah, there's four of them that are in there in this complex. And it was in these other ones that these alleged incidents occurred.
When you go to a haunted house, I mean, it's... They're yelling terrible things at you. That's the point of it,
they're
right?
They're not dry humping you saying, I'm going to rape you.
Well, there's an expectation that you're not going to get touched unless there was a waiver thing. So you're not expecting to get dry humped. And I don't think that should be damaging.
Even if you get dry humped! Even if it happened!
If a guy throws you on a bed?
Even if it's true, you get more than $50,000 from that? Come here. Dry hump me right now.
Come in here, Ned.
Please, do it. You can dry hump me all day long for 50 grand. I'll get dry humped by a guy, a girl, 10 guys, 10 girls. I don't care. For $50,000, you can dry hump me for half an hour.
What if this was...
You can have a pound cake from the afternoon show. Come over here. I'll get on all fours. He can dry hump me from behind.
He's walking down the hallway right now.
For $50,000. Let's do it.
Rover, they're trying to make the place pay and shut it down. That's the thing.
What if it was a former, a rape victim? Someone that's had trauma like that in the past. And then all of a sudden they're getting thrown on the bed.
Yeah, maybe that guy was raped in prison.
Maybe.
In the past and then doing this.
You got to go back and read the original news articles from when this happened 2 weeks ago. And you're going to hear from the guy who's like, you know, it was weird, but, you know. Now they want $50,000?
I don't know. You're kind of putting yourself in a situation where you want to experience a horror movie. Is that out of place in a horror movie? I don't think so.
To be touched?
To be raped?
First of all,
they're killing, not raping.
Is there anything? What is your expectation that you won't be touched? How do you know that? How do you know that?
They usually don't.
Usually they say that.
Is there a big sign?
Usually they say that, yes.
There's like a boundary. You go through, they just jump out at you, get in your face.
And they'll say, don't touch them, they won't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
With all this Me Too stuff going on, should they be doing this right now?
Look, you can complain and you can have them change their policy. When I read this, we didn't even talk about this originally. I saw it. I go, what a bunch of pussies. Then I read it. I go, okay, that's fine. If you want to complain about that, whatever. The owner of the haunted house can probably, you know, retrain their employees. Fine. If that's what your goal is, I'm all for it. But I wouldn't give this couple $5.
I saved you the news video. This is from Fox 8.
Which one? Is this from 2 weeks ago or is this from now?
I believe this is 2 weeks ago. I can't find anything where they're talking anymore. Yeah, this is from October 15th.
Okay. Here is...
I think they're talking with the guy that was... I believe that's him.
Okay. The guy that's now seeking more than $50,000? Okay, here it is.
Hagrid Fright Fest bills itself as the area's first R-rated haunted house experience.
Are you tired of crappy haunted houses? Are you tired of the same cookie cutter displays?
Attracting hardcore fright seekers. Six haunted houses with varying degrees of intensity, some of which require a release because they can get physical. Ryan Carr says that is often par for the course at haunted houses.
Someone will usually do is like get like all up in your face and like maybe like rub against you because they're that close or something.
But in one of the houses, Ryan says he was grabbed by a man who came out from under a bed, then thrown onto the mattress.
My girlfriend walks over and says, "Hey, what are you doing? That's my boyfriend." And then he says, "Not anymore. He's mine now. I'm going to rape him." And then he started thrusting against me.
Oh.
And after like 4 seconds of that, it was just kind of really awkward. So I just kind of like sat up and was like, "I'm going to go now."
4 seconds of that. 4 seconds.
Did he ever say stop? And then the guy didn't stop?
After 4 seconds, I got up. Now,
you think he wants?
That's more than $10,000 a second.
You think he wants that to happen to him?
And I left.
Stand up!
His story is similar to that of a local 16-year-old visitor whose mother tells Fox 8 she works with rape patients and believes this is not something that belongs in a haunted house. Park managers tell Fox 8 they are investigating. Also on social media, they posted a statement saying the rape scenario isn't something we thought up or made up. We are and have been looking into what happened. Another post on their behalf says appropriate measures have been taken to resolve the situation. Carr and others believe scenario is the work of a freelancing actor, it has no business in a haunted house.
They're probably someone who's, you know, like sick and twisted and they get off on doing that because I can't see another reason to do that.
People who enjoy Fright Fest say it is intended to be extreme. Others who claim to have been the victim of sexual assault say nobody who knows what rape is like would be okay with this.
This is what your money paid for!
Well, it's wrong, and if you have, like, been the victim of sexual assault or something, it could be...
Have you? Has this guy? I mean, it's all theoretical. This is like, you know, this is like white people going in some perceived slight against blacks, and they're, like, all up in arms. But you're not black, so why don't you just shut up and let actual black people complain if they feel that they're being slighted or something bad is happening? Is this guy... I mean, you can theorize, well, were you? Did this cause you pain? Is this the same clown that's suing? I mean,
it's
I guess we
be.
Don't. We don't know for sure, I guess. But
name?
If this nerd gets $50,000, I'm quitting my job and I'm just going to go around suing people for the rest of my life. I'll get more money. I'll find every day I could find some. I can find something to sue for. Dan, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
I was calling to comment about the Fright Fest.
Yes.
My wife actually went to school with the girlfriend, I guess, involved in the scenario.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that she's like an aspiring writer of some sort.
Which means, let me translate that. That means... As an aspiring writer, she has no money and is completely broke. Therefore, yeah, let me concoct something to get $50,000.
Very much so. And my aunt, her stepson is the one that actually owns that, Jeremy Caudle, the wrestling promoter or whatever. He's the one that owns Sprite Fest and Kim
Talk
Sam.
Slut.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up actually just shutting it down. His wife just died. She was, like, dying of cancer as all this was going down.
Oh, good. Last days on Earth, honey. Yeah.
That weekend, this past weekend, is when she actually passed away, and he just kept it shut the whole weekend. I think it just turned into more of a nightmare than what he was going for. But, you know, I mean, I wasn't really all that surprised to hear about the content of the haunted houses because there was a writer for the Beacon Journal that went through it at the very beginning, and he gave like a detailed play-by-play basically of what happens in each of the haunted houses.
Uh-huh.
The house is called the Deliverance House.
Oh, so
I make you squeal like a pig.
Ah, I see.
Wait,
now it sort of makes sense now.
If they have themes like that.
Uh-huh. So
yeah, the one was called like the asylum, and it was supposed to be like an insane asylum.
Uh huh.
The other one was like the deliverance house.
Okay.
I can't remember what the third one was.
If that's
the one that this happened in, it was supposed to be like a backwoods, it said, like, marriage for everybody. I mean, like, the guy from the Beacon Journal broke it all down. He said that his manhood was insulted the entire time. Like, expect that. So, I mean, I don't know how they were surprised.
Let's say that I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they were indeed shocked by this and offended. You have to explain to me how you have $50,000 in damages. Can anyone come up with even the wildest of theories for this?
The trauma, the abuse, do you shoot high and then they settle for low? I mean, how does that? I don't know.
You're going to shut down for all the people who love haunted houses. Glenn, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Glenn.
Yo, yo, Rover.
Hey, man.
No, look, I live in the Akron area, okay? I actually have done work for the Forest of Screams, its local haunted house as well. But there has been so much talk around the area about this whole situation. And what's really sad is this. Everybody's saying that he supposedly had this happen to him in the very first haunted house. Okay, we're all human, and let's be realistic for a minute. If this really happened and it affected you so much, are you going to continue to go through the rest of them?
Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't think so.
No, you get in your car, you drive home sobbing, don't you?
Yeah, you know, you're going to say something immediately. You're not going to continue to go through the rest of the haunted houses and be like, oh, they did this to me. Now, come on, people. Get real.
Yeah, I mean, If you had, you maybe they were legitimately offended. I can even grant you that. Oh yeah, he didn't even seem that offended in this news story, did he?
He seemed disgusted.
He's like, oh my god, 4 seconds of this, and then I got up and I walked out of the room. My girlfriend was like, "That's my girlfriend," or "That's my boyfriend." Same thing. Jeez.
But he said he got raped so hard, Rover, his shoulder came out of the socket.
Okay.
He's got shoulder injuries.
Stop it.
It's in the...
Stop it.
Rover.
Stop. Really?
What happened?
When did he say that? In the lawsuit?
I'm reading this now. This came out.
Is that the same guy?
That's hilarious.
Mr. Carr.
Okay.
Shoulder injury to this day. He was getting raped so hard against plywood, his shoulder
That's funny. Why didn't he mention that to the news the day after?
He was in shock.
Wow.
Isn't that funny how when someone wants to...
The guy that raped him was 200 to 250 pounds, or fake raped him.
Okay.
He's thrusting against him, all that body
weight. Why wouldn't you say this at the time? I went through this, where someone tried to sue me. They tried to claim that they had some sort of medical damages or something.
They're on the news the day before.
Yeah, they're on the news. They don't bring up when the news is talking to them that they were injured.
Yeah, it's
only until someone else gets a hold of them, like a crooked cop, and encourages them to go to the hospital and go to a doctor and claim that you have all of these injuries. That's when it pops up. Why would you say that? Why would you say right at the time to the news, like,
that's
oh my God,
my wife
was injured in this?
Yes.
No, didn't happen.
First thing you said.
And the same thing with this. Why wouldn't the guy, and by the way, that was thrown out. They threw that out. They ripped that up to shreds. They go, BS, throw it out.
Rip it up.
Forget about it.
Rip it up. Forget about it.
Why wouldn't this guy, if he had his shoulder pulled out of the socket, you said?
Well, popped out of the socket. He's getting...
Why wouldn't he tell this to the news and go, I was so violently attacked that my shoulder popped right out of the socket. Look at it. It's still dangling. Oh.
You got to have a sling on.
Maybe it's under the hoodie. Doesn't he have a hoodie on in that video?
He looks like he's just fine to me.
Maybe it's all
like,
taped up.
Girlfriend walks over and says, hey, what are you doing? That's my boyfriend. Oh. And then he says, not anymore. He's mine now. I'm going to rape him.
Uh-huh. Joe, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Rover?
Hey, man, what's up?
I love you guys, and I listen to you guys in my community every morning.
We love you, too. Like, but in a non-rapey kind of way, Joe.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to comment on, you know, this girl, like the guy that called him before, my girlfriend went to school with this girl, and she's... She can be a little eccentric at times and over, you might want to...
Overdramatic.
That's what I'm looking for. Way overdramatic, yes. And she's seeking damages and whatnot. She's been like this for quite some time. You know, with all the stuff going on in the township, you know, she just, she's going to eat this,
she's going to drive this thing all the way to the money bank.
Oh, I'm sure she's going to probably try to file a lawsuit against me next. Oh, my God. Rover said I was a gold digger. That's That's another $50,000 in damages. Well, sweetheart, we have freedom of speech and opinion in this country, and that's just my opinion, okay? My opinion is that your lawsuit sucks. And that you're a money grubber. And that there's no possible way that you have more than $50,000. You know, I have a lot of sympathy for people who run businesses. I have a couple of businesses. It's hard. There's so many regulations and, oh my God, you should see this thing that they do now, the state here. They have like a, they call it the business gateway. It's an online thing where you log in, you can take care of various things, state taxes, unemployment insurance that you have to pay as an employee, all this nonsense. So they updated the design of this thing. Holy mackerel. I've been on, normally I can figure things out, right? I've had to have two calls with their support of, you know, it's like, this doesn't show up. And they're like, this option doesn't show up in my business menu. And they have to walk you through, it's like a 50-step process to get like a particular thing to show up in your menu of options. It is so freaking complicated. And they must have spent tens of millions of dollars on this website redesign, I'm sure. Anyhow, I have a lot of sympathy for people who run businesses because here you are, you're running a business, and now you have to deal. Your wife, apparently, this guy's wife just died. You got to while she's dying, you got to put up with this. You're getting sued. It's not worth it for a lot of these business owners. They go, what am I going through the hassle for here? $50,000, my God. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. We talk about this almost every day, how everyone is such pussies these days. This is the tip of the iceberg. Every day you're going to hear more and more about lawsuits like, oh, I was offended by something. I'm going to sue. I've got to take a break. It's just, man, is that aggravating to me? It just really riles me up.
You think?
It really does. It just gets me going.
I can tell.
I get it. If you're offended, even if you want to go to the news. I saw this story. I thought to myself, what a bunch of pussies, but I bit my tongue. I go, you want to go to the news? That's your right. You want to go to the news? You want to cry about it? Okay. That's your right. That's fine. But you didn't get $50,000 of damages to you. Where do you come up with that number from, by the way? It's more than 50,000.
It's got to be over 50, Robert.
Yeah, it is. Where do you come up? How do you calculate that?
The shoulder injury.
Uh-huh.
So the sling, the cortisone shot, all that.
Oh, and that's already happened? Okay.
Well, I don't know. Uh-huh. I'm just trying to guess.
I could amputate my arm for less than $50,000, okay? It's not $50,000. Come on, give me a break. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. To all the haters of the show, save your breath. You'll need it when you're inflating your girlfriend. This is Rover's Morning Glory.
On the show in about half an hour, you know, from Hardball, MSNBC. I like Chris Matthews. He'll be on with us. It's Friday. We have the Friday Leftovers on RMG Plus. If you don't subscribe to RMG Plus, sign up at roverradio.com. Then you can watch or listen live on the website there or with the Rover Radio app. We all continue on the Friday Leftovers. We give you an additional hour, roughly, on the Friday Leftovers every Friday. For Plus subscribers, and then during the week you have the aftermath, you have the RMG TV archive, JLR parodies, Sign up for Plus at roverradio.com. Someone sent me a text message yesterday, and they asked, what's going on? You said you were going to do something for RMG Plus subscribers. I have been working around the clock trying to put something together, and it doesn't look probably in the next week or two, I could tell you, but it doesn't look too promising for the time frame that I wanted to do it in. I wanted to do something right away for RMG Plus subscribers that we've never done before. I actually thought it would be really cool. So I haven't completely ruled it out, but just the things are not, the chips are not falling where they need to. That doesn't even make sense. I don't even know what that means.
Chips aren't falling where they lie.
No, that's not it.
That's it.
You're trying to do like a poker term.
You hedged your bets.
All bets are off.
I'm all in.
Okay, there we go.
Doubling down.
Keep your cards close to your vest.
I got an ace in the hole, though.
Watch out for the flop.
Pocket rockets.
Right.
Coming down the river.
What?
So we'll see. I haven't completely given up hope on that idea. And if I can't get it done, we'll be able to do it soon, but just not as quickly as I have thought. There's a woman in North Carolina. You know that hurricane that just Hurricane Florence that hit?
Yeah.
A couple months ago. There's a woman named Deja Lee. She lives in Charlotte. She is 20 years old. She had a one-year-old son named Caden. And she thought that the storm was over. She put Caden in his car seat, buckled him in, got in her car, and they headed toward her grandmother's house. She says that she saw cars coming from a road that had barricades along the sides of the road, and she thought that it was safe. But after she drove through or past the barricades, a rush of water hit her car. This is according to the Washington Post. A rush of water hit her car, and when she tried to escape with her one-year-old son, she lost her grip on him, and he was swept away. His body was found the next day. He's dead.
I remember that.
She has now been charged with involuntary manslaughter and driving on a closed highway. She says, well, the barricades were on the side of the road. They weren't actually blocking the road. And the prosecutor or the sheriff is like, I can't remember which one it was, but they're like, hey, look, we put the barricades up. If someone moved them, what can we do? So they're not even saying that those were up for sure blocking the road. They're saying someone could have moved, you know, and those sorts of things people want to get through. People will get out of their car. They'll move those barricades.
Sure.
So they're saying, yeah, that could have happened. Doesn't matter. We're still going to charge her. Involuntary manslaughter. I think this is disgusting that she's being charged with this. This woman lost her one-year-old son. That should be punishment enough. She has to live with that the rest of her life. She didn't intentionally go and throw her kid in the river, obviously. She's driving, car gets swept away. She can't get out. She's trying to. She loses grip on the kid. The kid's swept away. Now, I know you may think to yourself, I'd never let that happen. I'll get out. You don't know. Just like the people who were at the... Was it what national park were they at? Was it Yellowstone?
Yosemite?
I don't know where they were at.
Well, they fell?
Yeah, they're taking selfies. Travel bloggers taking selfies on this big cliff. They fall down. Dead. You might think to yourself, I wouldn't do that. I'm not that stupid. I saw Snitzer the day after he had a seizure where he passed out and he puked all over himself and had to be taken to the hospital sitting on the edge of the Grand Canyon. Literally on the edge of the Grand Canyon.
I remember that.
Dangling his feet over.
Yes, he was. Pissed.
Rover's like, I can't believe it. He's doing that. He was right at the edge.
Was he really?
Wasn't that stupid?
I go, wow, yes. That was too soon to be doing that. You just had a seizure. You puked all over yourself, crapped yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're at the end of the cliff.
Huge, huge even poop. If you didn't have a seizure
live life,
a day or two before, it's probably still a little unsafe to even sit dangle your feet over the edge of the Grand Canyon.
Right.
You were naked in the chair, puke all over yourself. Hey, you're fine the next day, too. So,
yeah. I wasn't hanging over the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, right. You knew not to do that.
Yeah. Even in my altered state, I knew not to do that.
And you have a wife and children, Anthony, that rely on you.
Wait, so I'm confused.
What?
You're saying that she shouldn't be held responsible?
Should not be charged.
But
she's already suffered the pain of losing her child.
But she's
what more can you do to her? Give me a break.
She's the reason the kid is dead.
Inadvertently.
What about charging people who leave their kids in the car?
I have. That's an accident, too. I don't think that you should charge people who leave their kids in hot cars. The grief that they're feeling from that. And I've said this before. I could see myself doing that. I have.
We have a bad memory. You forget.
I don't know
stuff.
If I ever said this on the air, but maybe I have.
Would you
I
have a
know.
Cat or a dog? You forgot one time.
I had a dog that I accidentally let Spocky, Doogie, and my dog. I went to take the dog to someplace. I think to get groomed or something, and. Anyways, I don't know if I start talking on the phone or what I end up doing. You get out of your routine, you start, and I end up, I think, at the mall, and I went in, I'm like, oh, let me run into this store since I'm out here. Let me run. I almost completely, like, forgot what I was even taking.
The dog?
I left the dog in the back.
For how long?
I went inside, and then I got distracted. I don't know. I mean, the dog didn't die or anything.
Yeah, but that dog barks nonstop. You just didn't even hear it bark or move when you tried to take it out.
No.
He would put it in the far, like the trunk part of the car.
To distance himself from it?
No, not in the trunk.
The back part of the car.
Like if you have an SUV, in the very back, in the cargo area. What's wrong with that?
No, yeah. Because he just didn't want to deal with it.
No, because Doogie would leave the dog out of a cage.
The dog would be in the car.
Climbing all over the seats and getting down by the pedals.
No.
Real safe.
Oh, that's safe.
Not by the pedals. Nice try. At least I didn't leave the dog in the car for hours on end.
You never said how long, Grover. 3 hours?
No. Four, I'm guessing probably six. Like 20 or 30 minutes.
They can die in 30.
I know
they
can.
I don't
remember if it was. I don't think it was real hot. I don't know. But I just remember I was like in the store and I got distracted somehow. Maybe someone started talking to me. I don't remember exactly. I got distracted, and then I'm shopping, minding my own business. And then it hits you. You go, oh my god, the dog is in the car.
Did you run out?
Yeah. Well, I didn't run, but I walked. Quickly.
Briskly.
Yes.
He's got shin splints.
Right. No, what are you stick
but
up
I can,
for these
I can,
parents?
No, I can see that. How these guys drive to work every day and then they get out of their routine. They have to take the kid to daycare. They're out of their routine. They accidentally leave the kid who's sleeping in the car. I can see how that happens. I really can.
But Rover, if that was your kid and let's say you had a nanny and your nanny forgot your kid in the car, and the kid died, you would go hell and high water to get that person charged.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't. No. It,
someone's negligence killed your child. You'd be so upset.
Oh, I would be upset, of course.
You say, how can you forget? It's a human being.
But this woman. But take Nad's point.
Okay.
If the nanny was in the car and put your child at risk.
Yeah, that's what he just said.
I thought he said it's a nanny.
What do you do this?
I thought it was the dog.
What if a nanny takes your kid and forgets it?
Oh, that's good to hear.
I just came up with this.
Run with this.
So let me just
no, not that.
Let me just throw a twist in.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's say I have a nanny and I have a kid, and the nanny takes the kid to the mall and leaves my kid in the car to die.
No.
I wasn't talking about that.
This is a tough one.
Wow.
All right, Rover.
Yes.
Let's say you have a kid,
okay,
and a nanny is in charge of taking your kid somewhere and leaves your kid in the car. Kid dies.
Oh wow. I was talking.
Are you guys done? I
wasn't listening, but hey, now what if you had a kid?
One more.
And a nanny left it in the car.
Got it. I was talking about.
Hold
the
on,
story.
Jeffrey's on the line. He has an idea.
What
if you had a nanny, Rover? What, Doogie? Yes, go
the
on.
The story that you said that she was in her car and she went past the barricades. If somebody else did that, if I did that. If your nanny did that, if somebody did that, you don't think that you would want them charged
nope.
and they drove off into the floodwaters?
Nope. No, because it's an accident. I mean, this mother.
But they didn't look at the road signs.
Mother did this on purpose for her kid to die? Of course not. Jack, you're on Rover's Morning Glory, 866 Yo Rover, 866-967-6837. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing today?
Hi, what's happening?
Good. You know, Disney, when she said, you know, the person was the reason for the accident, you said, yeah, inadvertently.
Yeah.
The involuntary manslaughter charge.
I don't know what he said.
Okay, Jack, let me ask you a question. Also in this same hurricane, riddle me this. Two sheriff's deputies were transporting a couple of mental patients. They're in a van. The van gets swept away in floodwaters. The two sheriff's deputies are able to escape. They got out. The two mental patients... dead.
Yeah, they're charged.
No, they're not. Charged. They're not.
Did
they're
this
not.
Happen?
No, yes, it did. It did happen, and they're not charged.
They should be.
Uh-huh.
But so explain to me why this 20-year-old black chick charged and the sheriff's deputies not charged.
What are you doing driving in there?
Network, and they're going to protect their own. Come on.
So that's okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Jeff. It's calling from the moon right now. It's on a lunar rover. I don't think that this is fair for this woman. I really don't.
She shouldn't have gone in the floodwaters. We all know not to do it. Do we not? You don't drive.
But
well,
you don't realize
got stuck
and the road
was closed.
You don't realize
The road was closed.
Well, the barricade
but the
was
barricades
moved.
Could have been open and been on the side of the road. So how would you then know that the road was closed, Charlie?
It could have been.
It
was
could
it?
Have been. They,
was
they
not?
Said might have been. We
oh,
don't
they
know.
Did?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Do you want me to read it again? Here it says. Let's see here.
Is there a small chance, too, she did it on purpose? That's what we have to weigh in on it.
What?
Remember that one guy left his kid in the car and he killed his boy in the hot
on
car?
Purpose.
He did it on purpose. So is there any way she might have done this, like, I'm going to travel on
think
purpose?
So. They're not even alleging that.
Okay, no. Okay. Throwing it out there.
Union County Sheriff Eddie Cathy said barricades had been put up on the road. Quote, whether someone else moved those barricades and she drove around them, I can't say. Well, I don't know.
But they were put up.
So if they're on the side of the road, if someone else got out, they moved the barricades... and she drives by. How is? What does she have? Some sort of ESP that she knows that the road is closed?
You know it's bad conditions. You know you're not supposed to go into floodwaters. Do you not? How do you not know that? So she's just going to walk free?
She didn't. This is what this, people don't realize how fast the water's going or how deep it is. Jonah, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jonah.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Rover?
You tell me. What's happening?
I just wanted to say, I mean, come on. It's a barricade there. It gets moved. What kind of a-hole is going to blame the person who drives through where it's supposed to be taken care of? You know what I mean?
You
charge, charge the, find out who moved the barricade, charge that person. Now that yeah, I might, I'd support that more than I would charging this poor mother who's already lost her one-year-old. Derek, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Rover. Hey, I just want to say that I totally used to side with you that somebody could leave their kid in the car in the hot sun and forget about it when they're on your routine, because I've drove past like three exit highways and just kept going in the past. But when you have kids, your brain works differently. You think about stuff you never thought about before. So somebody has to protect the kid, and that should be the role of the law enforcement or government.
Okay, I don't know about that. I think the government has all sorts of roles. But so you're telling me that all these people who leave their kids in the car every year during the summer, we hear these stories, none of them are accidents. They should all be charged because your brain works differently once you have a kid? You have some sort of superpowers?
You do think differently. I mean, evolutionarily, we should. But what if a cop killed somebody accidentally? Should they be held negligent and charged?
It depends on the situation.
Great point.
It depends on the situation. I mean, I don't know. If throw out a scenario, maybe I could tell you. But
well, in the particular scenario with the lady driving, I actually don't think she should be charged because who knows what happened with the barricade. Maybe it was a complete misunderstanding. But if somebody leaves their kid in the car, I don't know, man. Somebody's got to protect those kids.
So if I have, if I'm a father and I have three kids and I accidentally leave one in the car, it dies. The solution is to send me to jail so my other two kids don't have a father.
Well, they shouldn't have you if you're forgetting them in cars. And that's what this guy's saying. Like your mind, like you're constantly, unless you're Jeffrey, you're constantly on edge. You're constantly alert to situations. Anthony, you have kids, you know, four of them. You're constantly thinking.
Mark, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Rover, I got to call BS, man.
All right. What's that?
Well, okay, how about this? What if you had a nanny and the nanny left the baby in the car seat?
Whoa.
That's good.
I haven't thought about that. Mm. Wow.
What do you think, Dushy?
I know.
Right? Wow. What a weird angle that is. Who would have ever thought of that?
That's a real conundrum.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, I see it in a different light now. Mark, another Mark here on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
Hey, man.
Hey, I live in Canton, Ohio, and there's a couple areas of bad road that anytime it rains, they flood. And I'm talking 4 or 5 feet deep. And, yeah, it's not the same as a flash flood with somebody driving a car through a raging river. But the amount of people, literally hundreds a year, that get stuck in this and know it's there is so stupid. And they actually have to call 911 and get a fire truck or get a tow truck or get somebody to help pull them out. And they get billed that service. When they get them out there, I think that's great, awesome. They get billed for the emergency service. People are idiots. It's a common sense factor that does not make people look very smart when this happens all the time.
Well, what happens is people see this water. I drove through, my street was flooded.
Oh, yeah.
And I drove through water and it like flooded my car and locked the engine. Had to get a whole new engine in the car.
That was a small amount of water. It was a couple inches.
I think it was a couple. I think it was a foot or two, right?
The further I drove, the deeper it got. And then you're like in it, and you're like,
"You got to go now. What are you going to do?"
You're like, "What am I going to do? I mean, I'm kind of in this now. Waves are starting,
like the bottom of your car.
Like your car's making waves, like big ass waves. Like you can surf off these things.
Oh my god. Oh yeah. I think it went up to the door, like the bottom of the door, right?
Probably. Maybe a little bit less than an inch.
But like you had those air intakes on the front of the car.
Yeah.
Like it was real close to the ground that would suck air in.
Right,
so
then
it just sucked water in.
True. And that's what caused the damage. But you get in, it doesn't look that deep when you start to drive through it.
But once you realize you're supposed to back it up.
Ugh. No, but you
don't do that. You keep going forward.
You can't. You can't.
Why?
Because you're just in it now. No. You're like, I got to keep going to get through this, or my car is going to float away.
I think you were late to work because there's two exits out of that place, right?
There are, yeah.
I think you were just running late, and you're like, I could go through this real quick, or the other way would have taken an extra 5 minutes.
I stopped, and I looked, and I'm like, man. It's a long. It was like 150 yards of water.
That makes it even worse.
Like distance wise,
that
I'm
long?
Like, man, that's a lot of water to go through.
Oh,
but I'm looking around. I go, it's not that deep. You know, I'm seeing stuff on the. It's not like mailboxes are underwater or fire hydrants are underwater. I'm like, it's not that deep. But then there was like kind of a dip in the road.
So you
just
saw
a
that.
Little bit. Like it's and. Well, you don't realize it. No, I don't see it. Your car's in it, and then it's getting deeper and deeper.
Oh, at that point, you stop.
And then you pay the
price.
No,
you can't. You're like, you
Robert,
can't.
Oh. Well, you don't want going backwards, 100 yards going backwards out of it.
And then you look like a real a-hole.
See, I didn't know that you stopped and looked at it. I thought you just weren't kind of paying attention, and then you were in it, and you're like,
oh. No. I stopped before I
And you made the decision to drive through it. Okay.
I stopped, I looked,
That's
I go.
Worse.
That is worse.
I go, I can make this.
You see that guy driving a school bus this week, and he saw the floodwaters, and he's like, I'll go through it. I got a school bus. And there's dash cam footage up from the bus.
No.
He drove around the barricades and went straight into it.
Right.
Kids on?
Kids on. And he goes, I got a bus. It looks like a tank, right?
Swept it away.
Oh, yeah. He got charged with child endangerment.
Good.
But he went around the barricade. That's the difference with this story. The lady said there was no barricade.
Well, we don't know if there's a barricade. Of course she's going to say that.
All right, let me take a break. We have Chris Matthews going to be on the show with us in just a few minutes. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Show on the radio.
It is intended only for mature audiences.
I'm not talking about content. I mean, these guys actually smell like shit.
There's something weird in the air.
What the hell, guys? I mean, you guys fucking stink.
Let's see here. Chris Matthews will be on with us in just a few minutes, host of Hardball on MSNBC. And Trina, I think is how you pronounce this person's name, in Grand Rapids. Good morning.
Hey, yo, Rover.
Yo.
It's me and Trina. And I listen to you every morning on my way to work, and this topic of kids being left in the car is really important to me. When I was a young mom, I had two little girls, and I was exhausted just from being a mom and working full time. And I'm a great mom, love my kids, they're my world. And I dropped my older daughter off at daycare, and I had the baby in the back all bundled up. I'm in Michigan. It wasn't summer, but it was winter, and it was freezing out. It was one of the coldest days of the winter. I was so tired. I drove to work, parked in my parking lot, got out of my car, and realized my baby was still in the car, and I had not taken her to her daycare, and she was in the car with me. I almost walked into my office that day, leaving my daughter in the car. So I grabbed my daughter, and I went into my office. I walked into my boss's office and said, I quit. I can't do it. And it didn't matter to me if, my husband and I weren't going to have that income. I guess my point is that parenting is rough, and my husband traveled, and I was alone most of the time. I was kind of a single mom back then, and so I just wanted to put that out there, that you do think about your kids all the time, and even the best parents can make a horrible mistake.
Yes, it's a one-time thing. You have, I mean, all of us have gotten zoned out, and you start driving. I've talked to people who, I remember a guy at my old radio station. He was like, he used to work he'd take a different highway to go to work where he used to work. And then he got a job at the radio station. He's like, I was so late today on my first day because I just drove the way, like in a different highway to my other job. And then I get halfway there and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going the wrong way. And it does happen. And I have sympathy for people who this happens to. And luckily, nothing happened to your kid, but it could have. And you would have been able to see, you would have had an understanding. Let's say something did happen to your kid. You would have had an understanding how this happens, could happen to other people when you see it in the news.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I couldn't even believe it happened to me. I was so shocked. Right. And I just knew right then and there it didn't matter. I had to stay focused on the kids. So, you know, we scrimped and scraped by, and we did just fine. And I got a beautiful 25-year-old and 19-year-old daughters today. So
oh, yeah.
I'm very blessed.
What are their numbers? They sound cute. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. All right. And Trina, thank you. I appreciate it.
There's a story out of North Carolina. I don't know if you pulled that story, Charlie, about the mom that was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm too tired. And she just dropped her two kids off at the school. And left them there.
One like permanently?
One was like a 19-month-old. Like I don't remember the age.
I don't mean to laugh. It's sad, no. I guess, but I mean,
she's like, I'm just like, well,
I bet
so
a lot
hard.
Of parents have been like, God, I wish I could just turn these kids over.
But they
can't take it anymore.
The mom was just sobbing, and it was just like sobbing. The reporter goes to the house. Why'd you do that? And she's just like, I'm so tired. You don't understand. Like, I wish I didn't do that.
So the single mother?
I don't remember.
Gotta be, right?
I don't remember. But it's Chris is running just a couple of minutes late, so I don't know if you want to check out that news story. The reporter actually tracks the lady down that left her two kids at the school.
I think that you can turn your kids in like at a...
At a hospital,
sure,
don't they
sure.
have the
police station,
I think
hospital,
a fire department.
Fire
yeah,
station.
What are they called? Like the Grace drop-off?
I don't know, but I think you can drop your kids off there and just no questions asked, yeah. and they take them. What are you pointing to, Dougie?
I think
I sent you the news video.
Safe haven law.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, some fire departments have little like bins. You can put it like where you drop your mail in. You just drop your baby in there
yeah,
and
like
roll
a,
out.
Like an oven.
Nighttime deposit.
Exactly.
Drop
like
off.
At the Blockbuster. You just kind of drop it in.
What is the story called? I don't see it here.
Douche?
I just sent it to you.
Oh, it's not my system? All right. Adam, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Rover.
Hey.
Hey, I woke up this morning and I was on Facebook and I seen that there was two teenagers, one was 20 and the other one was 18, and they were smoking pot with three kids that she was babysitting. One was 3 and the other one was 2, and the other one was 18 months. I just wanted to hear what your guys' opinion is about that.
Well, my opinion on that is that the babysitter should be charged with a crime. In that case, no question about that.
Yeah, and I emailed the video to you.
All right.
I don't know if you could pull it up and let everybody see it.
All right, let me see if I can find that. Charlie, I'll see if I can forward that to you. All right, Adam, thank you. I have to log into my email. It's a hassle. The middle of the show, I got to log into my email. I got to find the email out of like a million emails. Not that he did anything wrong. I'm just telling you, it's not something you can do like boom, 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 real quick. Here's the story you were talking about, Dougie. Where is this?
I think it's North Carolina.
Wrong, but, you know, I've always fought for my kids. Oh, my.
No tears
happening now,
out.
A single mom in Wake County charged with child abuse after abandoning her kids at a Cary school campus. She tells Eyewitness News she just couldn't take it anymore. Ed Crump dug up this story and got an exclusive interview with that mom. Ed, what happened here?
Well, Tisha, the mother tells me that she brought her 9-year-old daughter and her 19-month-old son and dropped them off here on the school campus because she just couldn't take being a single parent anymore. Mm. It happened here on the Reedy Creek School's campus in Cary earlier this month on a Tuesday morning. The arrest warrant says two children, a 9-year-old and a 19-month-old, were dropped off on the side of the road by their mother, Jennifer Westfall, who then sped off.
I feel terrible for what I did. You know, I've always had my kids back no matter what. I was just so tired. Absolutely tired.
But at her home in Fuquay Varina, the single mother denied leaving her son and daughter on the side of the road and speeding off. She says she left them on the campus of the Reedy Creek schools and watched as a woman came to their aid.
I saw the lady walk and shake my kid's hand, so I knew they were in safe hands.
Westfall thought that was a legal way to abandon children. It is not. Under North Carolina's child safe surrender law, only children up to a week old can be surrendered to another adult. So now Westfall is charged with misdemeanor child abuse.
It was wrong, but, you know, I've always fought for my kids. Oh, I always fought for them and had to beg no matter what. And I always tried to do it on my own. Just can't.
If you watch that, you can really tell when people are fake crying.
That's a fake cry.
That's a fake cry. There's no actual tears or crying coming out. Just got to at least take a little onion and put it under the eye, right, Dieter?
Oh, yeah, touch your eye with it.
Chris Matthews is the host of Hardball on MSNBC, and he's an author. He has a man crush on all the Kennedy guys. He loves the Kennedys.
He does.
And his book, Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit, is out now. Good morning, Chris. How are you, my man?
We need heroes. I need my heroes, okay? That's the way it is.
You love the Kennedys. He has a man crush on every Kennedy, I believe. But that's okay. That's fine.
I think I've ran out of Kennedys, actually. For a while. Maybe this Joe Kennedy guy, the kid. I don't know. We'll see.
Chris, tell me what it's like to be a host on a cable news network in this day and age with, I mean, before, when I would watch you guys a couple of years ago, sometimes you'd get the impression like, wow, people are really stretching to try to fill up 24 hours on a news channel. Now, it's like you can barely keep up.
You nailed it. We've tried to figure this out. I think it started with 9/11, right before 9/11 hit in 11. We would struggle to come up with a show. In fact, that girl, the young woman that was killed in Washington, and this, her body was found.
Chandra Levy, yeah.
Rock Creek. Yeah, we were doing that every night. I mean, it was awful. We were going after poor Chief Ramsey. The police chief was a good guy. We're going after her boyfriend, Gary Conant from California, the congressman, who had nothing to do with her disappearance and murder, nothing. But we kept going over this story over and over and over again because we had nothing else. And then all of a sudden, 9/11, and ever since 9/11, and of course Trump has picked up on this, it's been a story every hour. I mean, we get the show put together, say, around 1, all the segment producers are doing their homework, and comes 4:30 or 5:30 or even 6:30, one of the major newspapers, the Times or the Washington Post or somebody, or Bloomberg or somebody, breaks the story. It's our A1 block. That's our A block. Everything changes. It's, to be honest with you, it's easy because the news just comes at us like a fire hydrant,
you know,
every night.
And what the weird thing about it
different.
Is I consume, probably the only person who consumes more cable news than me is the president himself. I constantly, MSNBC, CNN, I used to watch Fox News. I can't any longer. I do love Shepard Smith, though. But in a way, Chris, it's almost information overload for the past, all throughout the Trump presidency. It's almost information overload where I'm worried that general people like you, you love this kind of stuff. I love this kind of stuff. We pay attention. We know what's going on. But I think 99.9% of the people in this country, they it's just so much, and it's too much to digest.
Well, that yeah, let me try that on. Let me challenge that. How come when you watch a show like Colbert or Kim or any of those guys, how come the kids in the audience, people in their 20s basically, how come they know all this stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, how do people pick it up? Osmosis? I mean, if people aren't paying attention, how come they always know the setup material? They always seem to know it. I mean, somehow people peel off enough of the news that they can absorb,
mm-hmm.
and then they move on and enjoy life. But they do pick it up, and people know what we're talking about. So somehow it's getting to people, may in their own dosages, but they pick it up enough. I agree with you. I look at a superstar like Rachel Maddow will have an audience of 3 or 4 million people, and we are in a country of 330 million, so you can see the math. The same with Fox or CNN. So we're really only talking on a regular basis to about 1% or 2% or something, maybe a little more. But to have a very successful world audience of in Fox or anybody else is having 10% of the country listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 10% on the right, 10% on the left. You're right, but somehow, is it? I think that. Like, I don't know. The way it used to be is my dad would come home on the train with the bulletin, the Philadelphia Bulletin, and we'd read it. It was a nickel, and I used to deliver it. And about a big paper route, and people would read the opinion sections of the paper at night when they got home over dinner, or after dinner, or before dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we used to get our opinion, in the newspaper, usually the afternoon paper. Now we get it on cable. I don't know.
What do you think about... you know, you were not targeted. MSNBC, to my knowledge, not targeted in these bombs that were sent by this kook a week ago.
He sent it to the wrong address. He was trying to get that CIA guy, and he thought he was working over there, but he's actually working over here.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's obviously not he's a dim bulb, obviously, but.
Well, he didn't know all the addresses, but he did know a lot of them. First of all, what scared me about him, not scared me, but impressed me, he seemed to know all the latest. He knew that Corey, you know, what's his name from Chicago, from Jersey's hot to trot to run for president. He knows
Corey Booker, right? Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows about Tom Steyer. He knows about this guy from Hungary. I mean, he knows all the personalities, so he's a cable nut, this guy.
Were you almost, Chris, were you, did you come in and talk to your staff and go, we've got to step up the show because we didn't get a bomb. Like, what are we doing wrong?
I'm just totally displaced from all this. It never occurred to me we'd be bombed. It never occurred to me to be afraid. I didn't even think about
it. Does the president's rhetoric, calling the media the enemy of the people, do you believe that that has an impact on things like this? Are we to expect more extremists, more violence towards reporters in the future?
Well, sure, there's 330 million of us, and every one of us has got his own brain, its own psyche, our own happiness level. There are people out there that aren't happy in the world. That's just life, and there are going to be people that are screwy. There are people that are angry. They're a combination of angry and screwy and informed enough to know who they don't like. And, yeah, I mean, this look at the history of our assassinations. They're politically aware people, whether it's Lee Harvey Oswald or Sirhan Sirhan, or the guy that shot Dr. King, they all read the papers.
Mm-hmm.
They all are tuned in, if you will. And that's a fact. And it's the rare case when it's like a Hinckley who was going after some movie star to impress her. But usually it's about something in the paper. They don't like the Middle East policy of Bobby Kennedy. They don't like the Ine Castro policy of Jack Kennedy. They don't like Dr. King being a civil rights champion. They know what they're doing, but they're bad people who are unhappy enough and screwy enough and with nothing to lose to do it. But yes, you could you do a focus group, you'll probably get somebody at different extremes. Yeah, it's all connected. It's a free country with lots of guns. Yeah.
Chris, Chris Matthews, who's the host of Hardball on MSNBC, weeknights, 7 p.m., also has the book Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit, which is out now, is on with us. Chris, let me ask you about the company that you work for, because this week we talked about, and last week really, Megyn Kelly, who apparently is on her way out. I'm a pretty liberal guy, but I don't think, obviously, her ratings probably not through the roof, but they seem to be using these comments on blackface. And she said, "Hey, is it racist? When I was a kid, people put on blackface. It wasn't racist. You did this, if it was a Halloween costume. I think it has to be put into context. You could dress up as Michael Jackson or Diana Ross or whatever." And I said at the time, I go, they're going to oust her for this. Watch this. They're going to oust her. I don't like that. What's your opinion on it?
Well, I think you're watching this pretty close. I mean, that's your call. My belief is that, I think that's, you can make that analysis. I'm not going to get into this with you because you know what you're talking about in the sense that you've been watching it look the way things work, I guess. But I'm going to tell you that I thought that was kind of an odd comment, a screwy comment, because here's the thing. I mean, I'm an Al Jolson fan, but I also know that Al Jolson did blackface. He did the jazz singer. That whole minstrel thing went all the way into the movies. I love the Al Jolson story with Larry, what's his name? But I tell you, I watched it again on YouTube last night. I'm fascinated to look at this old blackface stuff with Jolson. But it was totally wrong because by the early 50s in Philadelphia where I grew up, they used to have the Mummers Parade in blackface. They got rid of that. It's part of our history that was bad. It really, and even Amos and Andy, which had many positive aspects to it, it was funny. But it really humiliated African Americans. They felt humiliated by it. And I don't know how she wouldn't know that. I don't know. But, I'm not in management. I'd love to say it. I'm not in management. How
Chris,
would she not know that?
Or
offended by it.
What, before I let you go, I know that there's a lot going on in the news. We have...
By the way, the difference between intention and effect. A lot of times you do something that offended somebody that you didn't know it.
Sure. Right.
But, it's not like you're a bad person. It's just you don't... Why wouldn't you know that, though? I think that's a serious question to ask. Why would a journalist not know that?
Chris, what do you predict? Midterm elections next week... I know you're not in the prediction game per se.
No, I am in the predictions game. I've been in it since April. I said 30 to 40 seats on the House side. Democrats pick up 30 to 40 seats, mainly in the suburbs around big cities like Philly. They're going to have a huge pickup in Pennsylvania, maybe 8 seats. I mean, it's incredible what's going to go on.
Will they be, but probably won't take the Senate? Is that your guess?
No, I think the Senate will go the other way. I think the Senate, And I think what Trump's doing this weekend is aimed at not only saving the Senate, but going the other way. He's got a chance of picking up a couple seats in the Senate. He's going after North Dakota, which I think he has. He's going after Missouri, where he looks strong. He's going after Tennessee. They could win those three fairly easily. And then you think of where the Democrats were hoping to win, Arizona, Nevada. He could shut that down. He can win five. He still has a chance to stop Bill Nelson down in Florida. I'm telling you, he could come out of this strong enough to say 54, 55 seats. He'll be able to say on election night, oh, yeah, Paul Ryan lost the House. He blew it. I won the Senate. I won it strong enough now that we can, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires, we got another Supreme Court nomination. And I don't have to worry about the two women this time because I'm going to have enough seats in the Senate to get the candidate through.
So, yeah.
He's going to be bragging Tuesday night about the Senate. That's what I think.
Chris Matthews hosts Hardball on MSNBC. It is weeknights at 7 p.m. He has a book out. It's called Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit. And he loves this kind of stuff, and we love having him on. Chris, have a great time, and I appreciate you coming on, my man.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Thank you, Chris Matthews. Peter, did you vote? Did you get your ballot yet?
I didn't get it yet.
You still haven't got it?
I'm sweating it now. I'm going to have to go to the polls, right?
Well,
unless I get it.
Here's the thing. You'll probably have to cast a provisional ballot, I think, because if you've already signed up for an absentee ballot and then you show up at the polls, I'm pretty sure you have to cast a provisional ballot, which kind of, I don't know how it works exactly, but I guess it goes like into a separate pile.
Oh, no.
They have to figure out, did he also vote on his absentee ballot?
Because
we can't have two votes coming in for this one guy. I think that's what you would have to do if you went to the polls. You'd have to file a provisional, I think.
But once you mail it by, like, when's the last I can get it?
Monday.
So if I get it Monday, I could still mail it out Monday, go to the post office and mail it. Still counts.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a couple days.
All right. I've got to take a break. If you're listening to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m. Eastern, you can continue listening or watching live at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app. For everyone else, we'll be back in just a few minutes to finish with our last hour of the show. And then after that, we have the Friday Leftovers on RMG Plus, where we all stay and continue for our subscription service. And it's a free-for-all.
We have a surprise guest on the Leftovers, too.
We do.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. If you don't subscribe to Plus,
sign up.
Charlie just
sign up now at roverradio.com so you can watch or listen live to that as we continue after the end of the main show today. Just have to wait and see. What a tease.
Yeah, is it Kev D?
That's a tease.
If it's Kev D from Rochester, I'm walking out.
Come on.
All right.
I'll see you later.
We will be right back after this. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Get into it.
Doogie hasn't been laid in 5 years, despite being surrounded by giant d**ks every morning.
Bite me.
Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. The news. What do you have on the way, Doogie?
A woman ordered two salads from a fast food place. She got a little extra something in there. I'll tell you what it is. And Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, they have now taken their breakup public. I'll tell you that story next.
We'll get to that in just a moment. During the commercial break, I was reading some news articles, and Chris Cornell, you remember him, the singer of Soundgarden?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Committed suicide in a hotel room at the MGM in Detroit.
I heard about that place.
Yeah.
His family has now filed a lawsuit against his doctor, claiming that the doctor was responsible for his death. The doctor had prescribed Ativan for the past 20 months to Chris Cornell prior to his death.
What's that in ads, Ativan?
Benzo.
Okay. How long ago did he die?
About a year and a half ago, I think.
That's it?
Yeah. May of 2017. The official autopsy says that the cause of death was suicide by hanging. And they say that the doctor, that the Rocks, Chris Cornell, had a history of substance abuse and chemical dependency. And his family claims that Dr. Robert Coblin prescribed Chris Cornell more than 940 doses of Ativan in the last 20 months of his life. So let me just do the math on that. I haven't done it yet. So in 20 months, you assume that there's, what, about 30 days in a month. That would be 600 days.
Okay.
So how many doses did they say? 940? So 940 divided by 600, that's only 1.5 doses a day.
Just one dose a day.
Pretty normal to me.
Yeah, is that... Look, the guy committed suicide. I'm sorry that he did it. I'm sorry that your kids are pained by the loss of their father. Didn't he call? What were the circumstances regarding that? Did he call? Did he? What did he do at the end? Did he write it? Was there a note? Was there anything? I mean,
didn't somebody he knows kill himself right before that?
Or Chester Bennington. Or was Chester Bennington, did he kill himself?
Chester did after.
Okay. Gotcha.
I thought the wife talked to him after his Detroit show.
Yeah, the show in Detroit, got off stage, went back to the MGM.
Something was off.
He hanged himself. I hate that word because it just sounds like he hung himself. And one of his, I think his bodyguard, eventually his wife called the bodyguard and said, hey, go check on Chris. He kicked the door in and found him there dead in the bathroom. That's where he hanged himself.
I went, I was at the MGM. I don't know if you guys have ever done this before. I went.
Got arrested?
No, I actually...
You got arrested at the MGM?
I didn't walk into the room where Chris Cornell killed himself.
No, you didn't?
But I did go right outside the room.
You did?
That's it. Ooh, you're risky.
There was nobody, the door wasn't open or anything.
No.
But I just was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is it. And I was trying to think of the suite, like...
Do they use the room? I mean, is the room open?
It wasn't open.
How did you get it up to the room?
It wasn't in the penthouse.
No, I know. It was on a regular
like floor 6 or something.
Okay. And you just took the elevator up, walked down to the end of the hall?
He was at the end of the hall. The room is at the very end. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about the layout of the room because I guess he was in a closed door bedroom suite situation and they had to break down the door. The bodyguard had to break down the door.
Dieter, if you could envision what the inside of that hotel room might look like where the bathroom is in relation to the bedroom, tell me what you envision happened in there.
Just a wild guess?
Yeah, yeah.
The layout?
Yeah.
You walk in, you turn left, I think, and you go down like a long hallway, and there's like a mirror on the wall, and there's paintings, and then there's like a huge master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm still guessing, you turn right, and then there's the main bathroom. So you have to almost go through a living area.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And a bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And then the bathroom. Uh-huh. It's a massive bathroom.
Massive bathroom.
Toilet. You can close the door. You know those nice toilets you can take a dump and close the door. You're completely and you're blocked off. Like
from the rest of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like so it's an own little bathroom in the bathroom.
Right. Take a massive dump.
At the end of the hall. So it's facing two directions of the building.
No, no, no. Now you're talking at the end of the hall is what
is
she means
room.
By the room is at the end of the hotel hall.
Yeah, you're outside the room. You're not even in the room.
I'm trying to envision what it's like in the room.
That's
what's
key.
We know what a hotel room hallway looks like, what a hotel hallway is.
Let Dieter guess.
Yeah, Dieter, so if you're to guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the room number, the actual hotel room is just at the end of the hallway, but like by itself. It's like the last room. It's a massive room.
If you were to guess, it's a massive room.
If I had to guess.
Yes.
If I had to guess.
Where did he do it?
Bathroom.
Oh, he did it in the bathroom?
Yeah, right in front of the bathtub. You can see pictures of where he did it at.
But the bathroom is so huge that it's like, it's not a regular hotel bathroom.
No, this was this is a massive room.
What would he have tied it to?
I'm guessing. Oh, he took an exercise, you know, like exercise band to do curls and stuff?
Yeah.
A rubber band? He used that, I'm pretty sure.
Just around his own neck, or did he tie it to like a faucet or something?
No, I swear he put it on the top of a door.
Top of a door.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's...
Crying Wolf Dave, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Crying Wolf Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I know Dieter's going to relate to this when I tell the story. First of all, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I think we could all agree that Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington, and Robin Williams, they did not all three commit suicide, okay? They were doing what's called autoerotic asphyxiation, all right? When you kill yourself and they find you and you're on your knees and you got a rubber band around your neck that stretches, dude, listen, I like doing it, okay? I'm sure Dieter's done this before, bro. It is the only way to jerk off, okay? And that's what these guys were doing, all right? They're in Hollywood. They got weird so long. There's nothing else to do except autoerotic asphyxiation. I'm going to hang up, and Dieter, go into detail about the first time you tried it and your techniques on it.
Dieter, okay. Got it. Autoerotic asphyxiation, not asphyxiation, as he was calling it, but... Do you believe that that could be that Carradine guy? What was his name?
Yeah. Keith,
that was
David
different.
Keith Carradine, one of these Carradines.
He was naked in the bedroom, in the closet, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he had all sorts of cords going. One, I think, wrapped around his wiener, one around his neck.
Well,
yeah.
Was Chris Cornell naked from the waist down?
I don't think so.
Would they keep that quiet if he was?
That's a good question.
I thought he had a note or something.
It says a homemade noose, a torn up airline ticket, pills, acoustic guitar, and a chair. That was all in the room.
No note.
Not that I see. I don't see a note.
And if you watch that Robin Williams, have you ever seen any of those behind the scenes or documentaries of what was going on inside of his brain? That was an auto.
HBO had a really good one that just came out.
He had Parkinson's, right?
It was similar. He had something. To that. Yeah. It wasn't, but it was similar. But yeah, but his mind was just. Going and he just couldn't.
He could never not be the clown, like, and he could never be himself, and people wouldn't like the real him. So that's why he was over the top and always on to the point where nobody knew him when he wasn't like that, and he couldn't be himself.
Robin Williams would be one of the most God rest his soul, but he would be one of the most annoying people to hang out with.
Yeah,
but you would laugh if you would either laugh off, there'd be no break.
No break, and then you'd have to like force laugh after a while, and
like hour three, like you're it's gonna wear you down.
Exactly, right. Doogie. Yeah. So anyhow, this Chris Cornell thing, it doesn't sound like. 900 doses over 600 days. That's a dose and a half a day of Ativan. That doesn't seem crazy to me.
Their issue is that he was not seeing the doctor regularly, and the doctor kept prescribing it, and his past substance abuse issues that were not taken into account by the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that really their big thing is that he's not making any money anymore, and they want some cash.
Robin Williams, his widow, said that he only had 3 years left to his Parkinson's disease, and then he also had Lewy body dementia, which was contributing to him behaving strangely and suffering physical impairment. So he was all kinds of messed up.
I'm sending...
If he's only going to last 3 years? How would she know that? From Parkinson's?
Yes.
Michael J. Fox have Parkinson's?
Yes.
But his
he's
was
different. It's a different.
Well, how would you know? Did he exhibit any signs of Parkinson's, Robin Williams, in any of his last public appearances?
He said he couldn't remember movie lines. It was really getting to him. Okay. All the scripts, he was getting depressed. He's like, I can't remember a freaking line.
How does he told that to who?
I don't know, his wife or the people on the movie set.
Uh-huh. He was struggling.
I remember reading that.
And he was having tremors, I thought I heard too.
Yeah, shaking.
I sent a couple of pictures to Anthony. This was for my birthday in July. I went to the MGM.
Mm-hmm.
And is it from inside the room?
No, I wouldn't. Who'd be able to get inside the room?
Well, what's the pictures?
It's
outside
right outside.
The room. Outside the room.
And then I took a picture.
This like it's a tourist attraction.
No, it's my sister-in-law's friend right outside the room. But then I took a picture of inside my hotel, the bathroom. The shower?
But that's not the right room.
No, I know, but I wonder if that's what he hung himself.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
We
know
that. TMZ has pictures.
Of what he used.
From the door.
From the crime scene.
The top of the door.
Oh, that looks like a door.
Do you even have the right room number?
Yes.
What is it?
I don't know, whatever she has.
1136 is what it says right here in that photo. Would that be the right room, Dieter?
Yeah.
But I was nervous, like, what if there's cameras? Like, you're not allowed to go over there. What if you get arrested?
No, there's security cameras in the whole hotel.
Of course. Oh, I know that.
Hotel and casino. Yeah.
Let's say you walk somewhere and then you go back to your room.
Uh-huh.
They'll come to your room with a bunch of people, and they'll go, what the hell are you doing, buddy? Uh-huh.
But you're in your own room.
Turn around.
I know, but they won't
turn
let
around,
you.
Turn around, put your hands behind your back. They would do
like
that.
I can't believe you went up there, Doogie. That's really morbid.
He hung himself on the door.
There's a
there's
photo
the exercize
of it.
Band.
Oh, wow.
How have you not seen this, Doogie?
I've not seen
We've
that.
Done
I
this
thought
on
it was
on the show.
You thought it was on the glass?
She thought it was from a shower head hanging from the ceiling that would just rip out.
Yeah, that right would. Out. His weight, 200 pounds.
He wasn't 200.
You couldn't hang
100.
A baby from that shower head, dude. She, are you kidding me?
Hang you.
Are you ready for the shizzy?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
I have not been telling you this all morning, so I apologize. Daylight savings time this weekend.
Oh, with the S at the end. The extra S.
To all those that don't like that.
No, it was just one guy that was just riled up that you were saying daylight savings time and not daylight saving time.
So tomorrow, before you go to bed, just change your clocks. It is fall back. It's fall. You go an hour earlier, so that means you get an extra hour of sleep, but it's also going to get darker a little bit earlier.
It's the worst. It's dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It sucks.
I love it.
Why?
You know what I think it goes back to? Because at football practice, it would start to get dark earlier, so you knew practice wouldn't take long. Because when it was light out, you can go till 6, 7 o'clock. Once they started changing this time, you knew 5 o'clock hit. It was so damn dark, you couldn't see the ball. The coach had no choice.
They didn't have lights or anything at a football practice?
Not really. It was just like an open field, Rover. Hmm. So the coach would be like, you guys suck. I want to keep practice going all night. And then it would get dark, and he's like, I would keep it all night, but damn it, I can't see you guys or the ball. We got to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
So just a great feeling.
Yes. Rover hates it. I actually agree with Rover, with Dieter. I like this time of year.
Was your coach surprised every day when it got dark?
Yes.
Like he didn't know?
He's like, we're going to go to 8 o'clock. And then it got dark right at 5. He's like, damn it, we'll resume tomorrow.
That's good. So not only are you and the players stupid, but the coaches are stupid too.
Right.
I like that.
Labor Department this morning released the last employment report before midterm elections, and the economy added a healthy 250,000 jobs for the month of October.
Why not talk about that if you're running for, want a campaign and you want to talk about stuff. Why not talk about that instead of weird caravans of people in Mexico and all sorts of others?
I think yesterday.
I saved that video, the caravan thing he tweeted out, if you want to see it.
Yesterday's rally, I think the Washington Post says that because they fact checked the president, as they always have.
Yeah.
I think he's surpassed 6,000 lies and mistruths. I'm not kidding.
Where'd you see that? In an article?
I listened this morning.
They track it every day. How many lies?
He's averaging about 6 lies a day.
Oh, my God. Fact check that. I want to fact check that lie.
I don't believe
that.
It's 30 lies a day.
Okay.
To 6,420 false or misleading claims.
Oh, my God.
Over 650 days.
BS.
Jeremy, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, I lost a friend in high school, Rover. He was actually doing the same kind of thing, I believe. That's all the speculation. You know, when they put a suicide in the paper or something, they never really tell you. They just say died suddenly or something like this. Nobody ever really knows the truth unless you know the family. But he was found with his pants off and he was hanged himself. So I can only assume that if Chris Cornell was found with his pants off,
I don't know if Cornell was found with his pants off or not, but that obviously if he was, that would be suspicious. But you're telling me that your friend in high school was found? Now, that's not just a thing that went around the high school, like, dude, he was found with his pants off.
Well, that's exactly what it was. And so that was always the speculation. But we knew he killed himself. We knew he had hung himself.
Okay.
No. And so the rumors started, and it just kind of tumbled around, and that's the way it was.
That sucks. Like, you get bullied in high school, and you kill yourself, and you get bullied after you commit suicide.
Dude, he was cranking it.
You have to be a maniac in high school to do that.
No, I think kids could try that. I've never tried the autoerotic asphyxiation.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't have the balls to try that.
It's got
to
be good, right?
Oh, yeah. People say it is.
It's pretty good without it. What if I try it and I'm like, I can't orgasm anymore unless I'm being choked out, strangled.
You can't go back to the old way.
What if I have to have B2 put a noose around my neck and just strangle me every time we're having sex? I don't want that.
And that's why high schoolers, I don't get it, because J-O-ing at that time is it's the top.
It's a magical experience.
You almost don't even have to J-O. You just look at yourself. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Orgasm.
So like to put a rope around your neck, that's taking it to a whole nother level.
The Boston Red Sox stars left a huge tip after they went out partying. So the team were at Nightingale Plaza Sunday after the World Series win. They had a bill, $300,000 bill. What was their tip?
I don't know. You tell me. Well,
this is close great. To $200,000. $195,000 tip they left.
Who gets that? Isn't all that split?
Awesome.
Just so.
Or just one serving them?
No, I think they almost. It's more than one person serving an entire baseball team. And
yeah,
staff.
That's true.
Some of the items, 169 bottles of champagne, 17 bottles of Jack Daniels.
Damn.
It's a lot of alcohol. They did a lot of partying, so they left a huge tip.
Who actually has to pay for that?
The players.
Okay, but what do? They split that up? How does that work?
There's got to be one guy on the team that makes the most money. He's just like, I'll pay for it.
And you have some sort of super credit card with no limit?
Somebody with the team
paid
the bill, a source says.
Okay.
Because they were wondering the same thing. Who actually will pull their credit card out?
It's great. Like, the players don't even have to worry about it. Somebody just pays for them.
Yeah.
Chris Cornell, real quick.
Yeah.
You're so rich, you have someone that just carries your wallet for you.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be sweet.
Sure.
He had on a torn gray t-shirt and black underwear when he was found. So he wasn't naked from the waist down. He had underwear on.
Where was the underwear? Was it around
his... The autopsy says it was on.
On his ankles? Or around
his waist?
You
think somebody actually... If you found some guy naked, he hung himself, you'd pull his underwear up to save face?
I'd expect you guys to do that for me. I don't think you would.
No.
But if you found
I don't know if they pulled it up. They wouldn't have to pull it up necessarily. They just say he was found with black underwear. His black underwear could have been around his ankles, could have been around his knees, for all we know. Yeah, maybe the bodyguard did it, who found him. That is an interesting theory. I don't know if I buy it, but I'll keep an open mind on that. Jim, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jim.
What's up, Rover?
Hey, what's happening?
What's going on? Yeah, I was just wanted to comment on, I didn't understand it, the J, you know, the J off. But I mean, when I was younger, I used to do the kind of almost like the same thing besides the J off. I would choke myself until I passed out because it was a high. And I would literally choke myself until I passed out.
How would you do this? How would you choke yourself?
I would squat down on my knees and put myself up against the wall, and I would take my hands and actually put it around my throat, and it used to be a high, and then you'd wake up and you'd be almost like, not like smoking weed, but it would mess with your head a little bit, and you'd feel like you were high.
That's dangerous, isn't it? It sounds dangerous.
I'd rather smoke a joint.
Yeah, just smoke a weed or drink a beer.
Yeah, really.
But what it did was, I mean, it was a different feeling, you know? I mean, you know how everybody experiments with different drugs and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, that's what that was. It was something different.
When was the last time you tried that? Did you ever do that as an adult?
Oh, hell no.
No.
I learned my lesson. Because the one time I didn't wake up right away, and it scared the crap out of me.
You didn't wake up right away? And why? Well, how would you know? Like, if you pass out, how would you know if you weren't awake for 2 seconds or 2 minutes?
Because I was in my bedroom, and there was a clock in there, and it was like, I don't know, maybe about 20 minutes I was out. Usually you only are out for a few minutes, and then you wake up.
Jeez.
But, yeah, it lasted a little bit longer, so I didn't, it scared me, and I never did it again after that.
All right.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's just a different feeling. So
now, Jim, have you ever? I know that people try this. Have you ever like having sex is a, have you ever told a chick to choke you while you're having sex? I dated a girl who liked to be choked when I railed her.
I had one that did too, and she passed out. It's scary because if they don't wake up, I mean, you get in trouble. I mean, so I kind of stayed away from that for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's girls that actually like that a lot, and you'd be very surprised.
But you've never had a girl do that. You obviously like the feeling of getting choked out. You haven't had anyone do that to you?
No, I've never had that done to me. No.
All right.
I didn't get into it as a sexual thing. It was more of just.
You like the feeling. That's what I'm saying. If you combine those, you take that feeling and sex, you mix them together.
Well, I don't know if my thing would still be up there. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. All right.
Because it is a different feeling. I mean, it didn't get me off on doing it. It was a different high. That's what it was.
Gotcha. All right, Jim, thank you.
Two more stories quickly. I got to end this. A California woman got an extra add-in with her salad, and now authorities have gotten involved. Gina Franco ordered two salads at an El Pollo Loco drive-thru.
That would be El Pollo Loco.
El Pollo.
No, there's two L's.
Oh, I lived out there. I would call him El Pollo.
Well.
She got one for herself and one for her daughter. And when she got home, she opened up the container. She noticed several white pills were tossed into the salad. She called the fast food restaurant, spoke to the manager, apologized. He said that we do have a new burrito guy in the line and maybe he messed something up. So she received a refund for the salads. And then she contacted the sheriff's office, which opened an investigation because there's white pills in there. Tests conducted on the suspected pills were negative for narcotics. What could they have been? We don't know what they were.
Tylenol?
I don't know. And finally, Pete Davidson was joking about his breakup with Ariana Grande. It was a promo for Saturday Night Live, and it was for this upcoming episode. It's with host Jonah Hill and musical guest Maggie Rogers.
Do I have this?
In one of them, Pete asks Maggie to marry him, and she says no. He replies, 0 for 3. So he's just kind of joking around. Seems harmless enough, but Ariana was not amused. She tweeted, "For somebody who claims to hate relevancy, you sure love clinging to it, huh?" Thank you, comma.
What does that even mean?
Next.
So, means stop. Your big claim to fame is me. Knock it off.
Yeah, but we know that. She's got to take advantage of it.
She already deleted the tweet.
Here's the problem.
I'm Jonah Hill, and I'm hosting SNL with musical guest Maggie Rogers.
Jonah, I loved your movie, mid-90s.
Oh, thanks. So is that pretty nostalgic for you?
No, because I was born in the mid-90s.
Same here.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Sick.
Hi, I'm Jonah Hill, and I'm hosting Saturday Night Live. This
By
week
the way,
with music-
that one should have been left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Like, that was horrible.
I think these are outtakes. They got to be.
No, these are the different promos that they have. Wow, okay.
Hill, and I'm hosting Saturday Night Live this week with musical guest Maggie Rogers.
Hey, Maggie. I'm Pete.
Hey, Pete.
You want to get married?
No.
0 for 3.
Okay.
You can see the tattoo he already covered up on his neck.
Yeah.
You see that heart?
I did. That was a tattoo that he had for Ariana.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That's a Shizzy and Rover's Morning Glory.
Do guys actually look you in the eyes when talking to you? Has age or a child left you with something that resembles a pair of tube socks hanging from your chest?
Wouldn't you like to be motivated by someone like me?
Well, good news. Rover's Morning Glory is giving away a free boob job. Just go to roverradio.com and register for a new rack from Dr. Matt Goldschmidt. Brought to you by the Cosmetic Surgery Center and Rover's Morning Glory.
Yeah, get there. Who wouldn't want brand new boobs? Maybe you've spent your entire life feeling self-conscious about your chest. We can fix that problem. Go to roverradio.com right now and enter to get a new rack from Rover's Morning Glory and Dr. Matt Goldschmidt of the Cosmetic Surgery Center. If you entered at Roverfest at the booby booth, no need to enter again. Your entry is in there. We'll take these website entries. We'll put them all together. And then we narrow it down to a few girls. We have them come into the studio, and we pick a girl right there on the spot to get new boobs from the show. We'll be right back. We'll wrap everything up. We'll give some stuff away. We'll tell you what's coming up on the Friday leftovers. which you can watch if you're a subscriber of RMG Plus. Sign up now at roverradio.com for Plus. We'll be back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Your dreams are unattainable.
Just remember that these guys are paid broadcasters.
Speaking out of context,
Commander what?
Ants Chief. Both.
Intensity defined him.
Can anyone follow this say news that. Broadcast?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Tell you what's coming up on the Friday Leftovers in just a minute. That is on RMG Plus. Subscribe now at roverradio.com. Doogie, what do you have going on this weekend?
I'm putting my Christmas decorations up.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
It's Hallmark, the beginning of November movies. Already?
Oh, yeah. Should do Thanksgiving decorations and then do it after.
Oh.
So your Christmas tree is going to go up?
Yes, I took all the Halloween stuff down last night. And then now I'm going to put that in the basement, and then I'll bring my Christmas crap up tonight. My daughter's going to help me. Oh,
Thanksgiving. What about Thanksgiving stuff?
Oh, this is part of Thanksgiving. You got to have the tree up.
Is it a live tree?
No.
Okay, because it'll die by then.
Yeah, yeah. They don't have them for sale yet.
Because it's too early.
So.
Do people... When I was a kid, we used to look down upon people who would have fake Christmas trees, like they were white trash.
Oh, no.
Now that I'm an adult, I go, what idiot is putting a real Christmas tree in their house?
I do. I love it. I love the real Christmas
tree. I like the smell.
Yeah, the smell's nice.
I would if I could do it in October, November. I mean,
I've
always had fake growing up. My family.
Really?
Yeah, never had a real one.
When my family switched to the fake one, I was mad, especially because our cats peed on it. So, like, we'd put it up and it just smelled like cat pee. And you think you just get a new one, but.
What do you mean?
You ever seen a Christmas tree go up in flames?
Like, oh, the video?
You know these things?
How quick?
Oh, yeah. You're just putting a death trap in the middle of your living room.
It's bad.
Yeah, a tinder bundle right there.
Yeah.
And that, what's it called? The tinsel? My cat would eat all that. And then just be all hanging out of its ass like a...
That kills cats.
Yeah.
It wraps around their intestines.
I know.
Really bad.
But you know, like on the end of a handlebar on a bicycle?
Yeah.
They have those...
The fringe tassels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what my cat's ass would look like that. Just hanging out all this tinsel. And I'm like, oh my God, we got to ban this.
It's probably what killed your cat.
No.
You killed your cat.
No. This was when I was living with my parents. My mom had to put that crap up. I go, Mom, quit putting that up. The cat's just eating all of it.
Yeah.
No, it's part of Christmas. You got to put it up. No, my cat then died at, 19 years old at my place. Years later, Rover.
Because it had tinsel in its intestines still, wrapped around.
What was that cat's name?
Oh, Pepe.
Pepe?
Uh-huh.
Pepe?
Mm-hmm. You guys always laugh at that.
Because I don't believe that you're... I think for whatever reason you're keeping your cat's name a secret.
It's too close to his heart. He can't tell us the cat's real name.
He told Pepe a long time ago, and I still don't believe it.
What did I change it then?
Yes. I don't know why.
How can I remember that?
Well, you said that was its nickname.
The cat's name is it? I mean...
Well, it really didn't have a name when we got it. They, gave it...
You see?
My sister got it.
What name did they give it when you got it?
Was it like a bad word? Was it a racial slur?
No,
Hitler?
No, it was
did you have a cat named Hitler?
No, it was like Damien.
I still don't believe you.
I'm telling you. Whatever. I don't even care. We hated that. We're like, we're not going to keep it that. So it was just, over time, it became Pepe.
And why was it called Pepe?
I don't know. It was just a nickname.
Who came up with that name?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't even know. But the prettiest sight to see
is the holly that will be on. All right. Caller 30 right now. I'll give you tickets to see Nick Swardson tomorrow night at the Hard Rock Roxino at Northfield Park. The tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, but you can win them right now if you're caller 30, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. Good luck to you. Charlie, what do we have coming up on the Friday leftovers on RMG Plus?
Watch a guy break his windshield in a really, really dumb way. Wolf versus bear. Who wins? I've got the video. And Dieter's special guest. Can't wait to see who this is.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What, wolf versus bear?
Huh?
What?
What's Doogie concerned about?
There really is. You have somebody coming in.
I didn't say coming in. So there'll be a guest here.
Here?
With the leftovers.
Okay. All right. We will find out who that is on the Friday leftovers. If you do not subscribe to RMG Plus, sign up now at roverradio.com, and you can watch or listen live there on the website or with the Rover Radio app. You also get the aftermath during the week. You get the complete RMG TV archive. You get the JLR parody archive. Sign up at roverradio.com. We will be back for everyone else Monday morning on the main show. Have a great day and a great weekend. It's Rover's Morning Glory.
Bye.
Bye.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your